your seatbelts, people.
It's going to be a rocky ride.
It is going to be a rocky ride on the web here today. I don't exactly know what happened, but something very strange happened. It's like a Marvel comic. Mm-hmm. I walked through some sort of a time-space continuum, mm-hmm. energy field. Something happened, and now I don't know anything.
And something has control of your board, it seems like.
Yes. My
magic invisible creature.
Yes. So now we're back. All right. Here's the game plan for today. It's business as usual. We will be talking to, instead of Ben Bradley, though, Joe Donlin is going to join us.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Your friend, you and Cavs bro.
Yeah, my boy. I missed him. Yep. Hey, Joe. Why'd you call us?
When's the last time you've heard from him, guys?
At the golf outing last year.
I
saw him at Sox Fest. I asked for a picture and autograph, and I was escorted by security, but I did see him there.
Oh.
He looked great, by the way. Hair was phenomenal.
He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, he's a athletic-looking guy too. He's a big like athlete. You know, you stop and you go, "Is that like a football player?" He looks like a retired quarterback.
Yes,
yeah. Like,
that's true.
He might have been like an AFC South quarterback. We're not quite sure who he was because we don't really follow those.
The USFL.
Very well.
He could be XFL.
Yeah,
he could be on his team. What's his
name? Mark Trestman's assistant.
Trestman's team.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think he was a Houston Oiler before they left to go. To, you know, it's like one of those things.
Right.
He played like five seasons after Dan Pastorini, and then, you know, who is he?
Like, oh, that guy, yeah. And he walks like that, a quarterback.
Yeah.
He's got the very
good posture.
So he carries himself athletically,
yeah.
Maybe he'll play catch with me next summer.
Maybe if you guys drop him enough hints, he might invite you to something.
You want to play catch, Joe?
You may well go out to the Channel 9 parking lot and just throw the ball back and forth and wait for him to show up. Hey, Joe, we brought a mitt for you.
Joe, go look.
We got a mitt.
You teach me how to throw a breaking ball?
I mean, yeah. You know what time it gets done? You could just be there, you know? Maybe, who knows? He might like that.
You like wiffle ball, right? We can play wiffle ball.
He loves surprises. I love just popping up out of nowhere.
Out of the bushes when he's walking home.
Yeah, under his bed.
Oh.
Scare him every now and again. He loves a good laugh.
Under his car when he's in the parking lot.
No, in the back seat of the car.
Right,
when you get in it. Yeah.
Oh,
is there like, hey, whoa, what?
It's Joe, it's me.
Well, I'm sure you guys can drop some hints and he'll invite you to something soon. It's been too long.
Sure, I mean, he will.
Golf outing last summer, that's the last time you've seen him, and he's one of your best friends.
Yeah, exactly.
It's weird.
All right, so
weird.
So Mark McKinnon's going to join us also this hour the Circus Inside the Wild's political show on Earth. And it is wild. We're waiting. Any minute now, we're going to find out the sentence of Paul Manafort.
Yeah. He's in a wheelchair, by the way. Did we know that?
Now, it's really, I find this somewhat entertaining. Last summer, when he was first being, you know, arraigned before he went to trial and all of that, they showed him, like, jogging into the courtroom.
Yeah, he was tan and he looked good.
Yeah, his hair was all dyed in the proper colors.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's walking in and he looks like a homeless guy.
Right? Classic maneuver.
Yeah. He can't breathe. I
got a health problem. But
he's been in solitary confinement for 9 months. I can't imagine that's a picnic.
Well, he threatened witnesses in his own case. Let's not feel sorry for him. He was out while he was trying everything he could do. As soon as he realized that a pardon was not going to be forthcoming, like a pardon was going to have to get him through all of this, he tried to change the outcome with the witnesses, telling people what to say and what not to say.
That's not good. That's never
judges
looked at
don't
kindly
like that.
By judges.
No, they do not like that. That's why you're going to see Roger Stone probably end up back in the clinkeroo.
Yeah.
You should have... We should make sure that Manafort has one phone with one number in it, and everything else is locked out, and it's just Roger Stone's. So we can text Roger Stone pictures of himself in there and go, "Don't do it, I just did."
You don't want to be here. You don't want this.
Yeah.
But the wheelchair was something I was surprised by, frankly.
Yeah. Wheelchair, lots of other...
health problems.
Yes. Having trouble breathing.
Yeah.
So.
Dressed in his green jumpsuit, and there he is. He's... very different shape than when we saw him last.
Right. You're in trouble. Let's go with the wheelchair route. Get the wheelchair and the
oxygen tank.
Has Monaco ever proposed that?
Right. Do you know? Yeah. Does the witness know who he is? Huh? What? I would do that a lot.
Yeah. Why not?
All right. For God's sake.
Very startling.
You're in trouble, buddy. We're going
to
go with the wheelchair around here.
Get your own oxygen.
We're call it Hail Mary.
We have those prep sessions.
I knew a lawyer who, honest to God, did carry neck braces in his trunk. So when he'd go...
He speeds at the scene of a car crash?
Well, or he'd go visit take somebody to court, the cars would pick them up, and they'd make sure that they had the proper neck brace on.
But then what I would do is that thing from the Brady Bunch. Remember when Mike Brady threw his briefcase out, and the guy with the neck brace turned his head? And he's like, you don't deserve to wear them. You remember that episode? Am I the only one who remembers that episode?
I think you are the only one who
Come
remembers
on.
It.
Brady Bunch fans here at all?
I knew all the Brady Bunch episodes.
I am, but you know, Bill Left can tell you everything that happened in
Bill,
every single...
please call in and say, you know, Brady Bunch show ever...
Get Don on the phone.
Don.
Where's Don? Damn it, where are those pictures I was supposed to sign? All right. We'll be back here in just a second, and then we will hold forth with Joe Donlin. Actually, it's a serious story. He's going to bring us
really
up to date
is.
In terms of this police shooting up in Rockford. It's a task force trying to execute a warrant, an arrest warrant.
One of the most dangerous things an officer will tell you they can do.
And we now know that this McHenry County Sheriff's Deputy has succumbed to his wounds. So Joe Donlin will be discussing that with us in just a moment. But first, Kim, what else is going on in the newsroom at the bottom of the hour?
Well, actually, we are going to bring you the latest on the shooting of the McHenry County deputy that was part of that task force and the standoff with the suspect.
Procon Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on WGN
Everywhere.
In with the WGN-TV newsroom right now, and Joe Donlin is standing by, your principal anchor over there, WGN-TV News, and Joe is covering this now-turned-tragic story from an attempt by the task force for Northern Illinois, which involved law enforcement agencies in Winnebago County and in McHenry County, as well as U.S. Marshals deputies that were also on the scene to execute a warrant, and shots rang out. The deputy, McHenry County deputy, was hit, and we are told now has succumbed to his wounds. And Joe is going to join us right now, I hope.
Sure. Joe, let us hear me?
Yes, we got you now. Okay, all right, good. There we go. So we just now learned that this sheriff's deputy has passed away, right?
That's right. Yes, the officer has died. He was a McHenry County Sheriff's officer and also working with this U.S. Marshals Task Force when he was shot this morning as they were serving a search warrant. The suspect, Floyd Brown, took off in a car, and as we know now, there is an ongoing standoff down on I-55 in Lincoln, Illinois, just north of Springfield, and I can tell you that we just got word that police have used a drone to get Floyd Brown a phone. So they have now delivered a phone to him. As we understand it, he's still in his car as this standoff continues, and police are still talking about a peaceful resolution at this point, but our sources say this will likely not go on much longer, especially as we start to lose light here. I think the officers will do all they can to try to wrap this up before it gets dark, and if it's hopefully peaceful, that's what they're hoping for now, but we'll have to wait and see what happens down there.
Just so we understand this, is his car on I-55 right now?
It sounds like it's close. It sounds like the vehicle, he was traveling at a high rate of speed, and it went off the road somewhere down there.
This but not at an exit. Area. It's like off the
right.
road.
It sounds like it's in the middle of the area, but the 55 is closed in both directions down there, as you can imagine, for miles in both directions. So I'm not sure how far off the road he is, but obviously, considering how many shots were fired today, they want to keep people as far away from this scene as possible.
Absolutely. You already have an officer now dead, and wasn't an acquaintance, a female acquaintance of his, also shot in the course of this.
Exactly. And they're believed to not be life-threatening injuries to her, and police are also saying that, as far as their knowledge goes, this woman was shot by Floyd Brown. This was not, in fact, they said at the latest news conference that they did not believe that the police officers fired any shots during this incident today at the hotel in Rockford, which, you know, so many things, and Anna, you made a great point on the way into the break. you know, when you think about this, two of the most dangerous things officers do might be considered by some to be perhaps the most basic or even innocuous. But number one, pulling someone over. I mean, you can just imagine if you're the officer and you're walking up to this vehicle you've just pulled over, you don't know what you're walking up onto or into. And the other, of course, is serving a warrant like we did today.
Yeah.
And these are two extremely dangerous situations that officers are put in.
No question. Do we know what the warrant was for? What was he wanted for?
As I understand it, there were several outstanding warrants for him. And from what I can gather, based on one of those outstanding warrants, it had to do with another situation where he fled police and was involved in another accident. But we've just looked into his background, and this thing goes on for miles. I mean, it's literally...
How old is he?
14 pages.
39.
He's 39 years old. Yeah, so, I mean, this goes back to 1995.
Violent offenses?
There were protective orders, charged with disorderly conduct, a lot of speeding tickets, an emergency order of protection, which expired last summer. And he had just gotten out of prison in January of last year. And again, this thing just, he tangled with police in 97. He was charged with resisting a peace
originally
officer.
From?
Springfield is what I understand is where he's from. So he has just, like I said, pages of charges in his past downstate. This was someone police were very familiar with.
Wow. Wow.
Such a sad situation with that officer, you know, just they knew going in potentially this was a very difficult situation to approach, and yet, my God.
Well, the other thing is, as I was watching this unfold this morning, it's easy to just sort of close your eyes and ask the question, how in the world did he get away? If they had this task force, which could have had 6 to 12 members on it, but you have to understand that you aren't there, and it's hard to know, and there was talk that he may have jumped from a third floor window to get away. Shots are fired. There were shots fired inside the hotel. There were also apparently shots fired outside the hotel. How he got into his car and got away, we still don't know. That's something that police say they will be releasing. But it is another reason and reminder to think you can question all of these things, but until we find out exactly how this went down, it's hard to wonder why this went down the way it did. But the bottom line is, again, when you think about these officers in this situation, and it reminds me of the Aurora shooting. You have officers who are basically playing hide and seek. And in that situation, in Aurora, the gunman definitely had the upper hand. It was his home turf.
Right.
The officers didn't know where they were going. Again, put yourself in those officers' shoes. These are scenes that we only typically see in the movies or on TV. You're kind of just hiding behind a wall, wondering what's on the other side. Same thing when you knock on a hotel door, you're not quite sure what you're going to walk into.
And the officers have the duty to be cautious and those additional challenges of not trying to harm innocents in the course of, you know, going after the suspect. And you can imagine the suspect doesn't seem to care too much about that. So it's just difficult all around.
They've proven that by firing shots at an officer and killing someone.
Right. And now the one thing we know about the situation, so when he did get away from police, he was able to get onto I-39. Right, and drive straight south on I-39 out of Rockford, which is that it's kind of the spine of Illinois. It's a straight north-south expressway that takes you down and then intersects 55 at Bloomington.
Right.
And now, what is interesting? Was there a full pursuit here at this point? There must have been helicopters in the air, I'm assuming, too.
That, I don't know that, Ro, but I know that they were able to put out spike strips to blow his tires, and that's what forced him off the road. So there was also I don't know whether you picked up on this in the news conference where they talked about how they used technology to track him. I mean, think about that, too. Talk about trying to find a needle in a haystack, right? I mean, you have all of these expressways around town from Rockford all the way down to Springfield. They were looking for this, and you know there was an APB. Every officer available and Illinois State Police officer who was on the roads was looking for this car that he was in with temporary plates. And I'm guessing that technology trip was something they had probably flagged him either on his phone or some other technology they used to find out where this car was. I don't know whether the other possibility, and again, this is complete conjecture, I don't know, but maybe when they're trying to serve a warrant on this and they know the suspect's car is somewhere nearby, maybe they put a tracker on it before they start. Just
also the plate readers. There's plate readers everywhere now.
Absolutely.
And that's the technology, and that's something that state of Illinois invested in, along with all the major, I think they got a federal grant to do these. This has changed the outcomes in terms of catching people through the plate readers. It is really important stuff. And cameras. Mm-hmm. You just can't, you cannot give it a big enough value to how important cameras are. People talk about the situation with the Jesse Smollett circumstance, and they're like, well, you know, how come it was so easy for them to find this guy as opposed to finding other, you know, people who, you know, are committing murders of these guys that, you know, that were involved in this? And it has to do with cameras, and they were downtown. Mm-hmm. That's why, it, you know, out in neighborhoods, you don't have the kind of camera coverage you have downtown. And you can follow somebody. Once you pick them up on a camera, you follow them, and they were lucky that they, that these guys within the purview of cameras got into a rideshare car. Mm-hmm. Because the minute they got into a rideshare car, that's also tracked. Right. Right.
Well, so. You know, our expert John O'Malley, a former U.S. Marshal, told us early on they're going to catch this guy and they're going to catch him soon. You know, he's on the run, and it reminds me, which also the Jesse Smollett case reminded me of this too. Do you guys remember that movie back in the 80s with Kathleen Turner and William Hurt? I think it was called
Body Heat.
Body Heat, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, William Hurt's talking to Mickey Rourke, and Rourke knows he's up to something, and he says, listen, there are 50 ways to screw up a good crime. If you think of half of them, you're doing pretty well.
You're a genius.
And yes, most people are. So this guy today is on the run. You know he's not thinking clearly.
Right.
So police, using the technology they have, were able to catch him fairly quickly.
Yeah. All right. So now the question is, it is a standoff circumstance still at
right.
this point. So, all right. Joe, thank you very much. I know you got to run back.
Thanks,
there. Joe Donlan, WGN-TV News.
Great
Thanks,
to
sir.
Talk to you guys. See you.
All right, let's check in with Kim Gordon. She's doing the WGN News. Or do we have to take a break? People don't tell me these things. People, I need to know these things. Get Don on the phone.
This shouldn't be allowed.
Let get Kim on the radio.
I'm ready. So whatever you tell me to do,
yes.
I'm ready to go.
Go ahead.
It's the stream. Whatever it is, it is.
That can only mean one thing.
Yes.
That our friend Mark McKinnon is joining us from the circus on Showtime, the greatest half hour in political television. I don't think you need to watch 9 hours of political talk blocks on CNN, Fox, and MSNBC. You can get it all done in 30 minutes.
And distilled in this beautiful way.
It's, you could watch 9 hours a day of talk blocks on the networks, or 30 minutes in one weekend. What would you choose to do?
Yeah.
Would you like your life back?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we should try that 1 week, Ro.
That is what... I think I'm going to try it this week.
I mean, we do both, but
yeah.
I feel like, yeah, it might be nice. A nice break.
There are only 2 weeks left of this season of The Circus. So there's this Sunday and then the following Sunday, and then they get their lives back, which I think is Mr. McKinnon would acknowledge is probably a good moment for him when these seasons come to an end.
Well, we're going to try to, although I'm a little concerned that, you know, a big part of the, well, there were two reasons we're on right now. One was we wanted to be on to try and be on when the Mueller report comes out. The other is that Alex Wagner is pregnant and going to have a baby, so that's the other reason. But I suspect there may be a special episode in our near future if Mr. Mueller doesn't do anything by a week from Sunday. But there are people saying it could be tomorrow, it could be a week from Friday, so we'll see.
So let me ask you that. What are you hearing? Because we all hear rumors of that this is impending, and we heard it a couple... You and I were actually texting back and forth a couple weeks ago about it. We thought it was just about, because both of our sources were telling us that this was about to hit. And it seems like nobody really knows. That is, you know, that makes Robert Mueller the greatest badass of all time.
True.
That he's got everybody guessing. Everybody guessing.
And the only badass of all time who's never leaked a damn thing. So it's incredible in this culture and in that town to be as zipped up as he is. But, you know, somebody very close to him, it's been actually right in the middle of all of this. I probably shouldn't say the name on the air, but said that he thinks it's going to be tomorrow or a week from Friday. So
okay.
We'll see. We'll see. But anyway, either way, I think the circuit's going to figure out a way to throw the net on it somehow.
Yeah. You know what? That was cryptic. That was very cryptic, what you just did right there. That's like when...
I'll text you.
Please. We're right now. The problem with me and Mark right now is we're each other's best sources, and that's a bad feedback loop.
Being in code.
Yeah, it's a bad feedback.
The audience knows what the hell we're talking about.
Right, and that's not a good thing. All right, so let's go back. I want to go back a week ago. We talked about this. I know when we had you on earlier this week, but you were there during the Cohen hearings last week with our own Mike Monaco sitting right there falling asleep from moment to moment. Mm-hmm. And the big star for the Republicans was Jim Jordan, the Ohio congressman who is he never wears a suit coat. That's how you know which one he is, right? He's the guy that always goes in a tie and a shirt. He's like the guy. There's always somebody at a wedding who dresses like that, too. And you're like, hey, wait a second.
Who's that guy?
Right. Why does that guy not have to wear a suit coat? So he goes up there and, you know, he was a pit bull against Michael Cohen. And then you, Mark McKinnon, you were doing the full Mike Wallace. You're trying to chase him down the hallway to get him to respond. Take a listen to this.
Sir, how are you doing?
Man,
how'd you feel about yesterday?
But, you know, like I said, I don't know if you can believe much of what Michael Cohen says.
Well, what about the evidence itself? Do you have a reaction to the evidence, which is...
There's nothing new. There's the same stuff we'd all...
Well, there's a check that the president signed while in office. That's new, right?
Thank you.
Isn't that new, Congressman? Yeah. The check in the office?
Congressman Joe, we parked that way.
We got to switch, sir.
That's where our car parked.
I understand. I just got to go to the check.
Thank you, sir.
Congressman, the check was new information. So any reaction to that? No response to that?
He had to get parking worked out. I mean, that was a lot of stuff. You got to figure that out first.
I mean, it is amazing because no one's acting like a human here. Everybody is acting in their own partisan interests. Very few people that... is it John Kennedy, the guy from Louisiana? He's kind of glib, and he'll say things but again, it's kind of always elliptical. It's around the edges. It's not really to the point. Everybody thinks that they can protect their own thing. Michael, let's just face it. Michael Cohen's a scumbag. He is, has always been, has worked hard to bully people and to skirt the rules and try to stay somewhere near the law so he can claim that he has, whether he's working for Trump or himself or his father-in-law or any of that, right? We know what all of this is. But he was also as a scumbag, as a tough guy, he was working for the president. Now, the guy who's now the president of the United States, and for a while the guy was president of the United States, and that tells you something about the presidency, does it not?
Well, sure it does. And, you know, I mean, the president's calling him a liar, and that means, you know, I mean, the president hired him for 10 years. And here's the interesting thing. A poll was just done in the last couple of days that came out and said, that when asked if people thought Michael Cohen was a liar, something like 45% of the respondents said yes. And then they asked if President Trump was a liar, 66% said yes. Yeah. So about 20 points more think that Trump is worse than Cohen.
Right, in terms of being able to tell the truth. I mean,
the way, the other interesting thing about that number is that he still has a 46% approval rating, so that means that there are a bunch of people who approve of the president who think he's a liar.
Right.
Interesting.
It is interesting, but I think, they like what he's doing. They think he's got results.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. I have to make this point. He's lying about some of his results. When he talks about how the tariffs are working and the deficit is down and all that, and then the deficit number comes out from his own administration that shows that it's at record highs, the trade deficit. Is not how he defines it, anyway.
No, it's not. And you got people listening to one channel, and that's all the information they're getting, so they have no reason to think any differently.
Speaking of that, the news that Fox, the Democratic Party, is not going to allow Fox to host one of the primary debates, was that a good move? Is that the right move, do you think?
It's not a move I would make. People are sort of forgetting that the Republicans did the same thing with NBC during one of their debates. So, I mean, it's just another reflection of how partisan it's gotten. Because there's not a bunch, but there's a handful of actually pretty good Fox reporters who would, I think, actually do a good job.
Sure.
And I think it'd be better for Democrats to do that, to say, listen, we're, you know, bring it on. You know?
Total mistake. Total mistake.
Because yeah,
I got because the thing is that, especially, I'd even want some of the partisan, the more partisan Fox people, because then they'll get a sense of what it's going to be like to run against Donald Trump.
Well, that's a very good point.
So,
Good preparation.
Well, I'm camped out in Iowa this week, and you know, you can do one of two things. You can run around the country chasing presidential candidates, or you can spend 1 week here, and they all come to you. So, I'm here for, with Bernie tonight, and John Hickenlooper will be out here tomorrow. I was with Governor Inslee from Washington earlier in the week, and we got everything else going on in Washington, which my co-host will be covering as well.
So you really think something big is going to happen in the next week? That's what the sense that I get.
That's my spidey sense, and I just texted you my source, which is, you'll see, is pretty good. So
okay,
we'll see.
All right. Let me throw one more thing at you, because Bernie, you're there with Bernie, and
are you feeling the burn?
Yeah. I mean, is it really? We're going to do this again? What's going
on
here?
That's kind of my reaction to it all. Is like, really, you know, in this party where all the heat and juice is with, you know, about diversity and younger voters, and this is a 77-year-old, you know, grouchy white guy who, you know, calls himself a democratic socialist and until just like the other day ran as an independent. And yet, I'll be damned. From everything I'm seeing out here, there's as much, if not more, buzz and heat for Bernie than there was in 16.
Well, yeah, you look at the momentum of how much he raised in the first 24 hours.
$10 million.
And that totally casts, you know, shadow on everybody else who's entered the race. It shows the enthusiasm is certainly there for him still.
I think he may be the prohibitive frontrunner.
Oh, God.
Bro does not like that
well,
at all.
You know what, really? Hillary, I'm sure this did not escape your purview, Mark McKinnon. Hillary, when she did that interview, the only with Channel 12
in New York,
from, you know,
Long Island or something,
no,
wasn't
upper,
it?
Was
it
upper, it's the Rockland County or wherever the hell it was.
Oh, she didn't have to walk far from her house,
right?
Up in,
well, I'm surprised
Chappaqua.
She didn't do it in the woods. I thought they should have. They did in her living room, but it must have been too cold to go stand out in the woods and do it. It was so stupid, and she threw Bernie under the bus. She talked about the Russians, and she goes, you know, so no one's standing up to Putin here, because Putin clearly, you know, he wanted Bernie to win, and then when he didn't want Bernie to win, he wanted Trump to win. And you're like, oh, wait a second, Bernie.
Wow,
there's a day, you know, right from downtown. You know, it's sort of, so I don't know. I don't think this is where it's going to end up. I hope it's not going
to. Hard to imagine. You know, it really is. But gosh, you know, in this environment, you know, we just know that anything can happen. And by the way, the whole focus of our episode this week is leftward ho. You know, that we're taking a real look at where the Democratic Party has moved. And I mean, think about this. I mean, in 2016, Bernie was the outsider, you know, lefty, progressive, who everybody thought was kind of out of the mainstream. Well, now that's kind of exactly where the party is.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
And that's why you see Republicans salivating, because they think, you know, just when they say, once again, they thought that Democrats couldn't lose, Democrats may screw it up.
Oh, this is a perfect opportunity for the president here, because it's
right.
I am sure people say this to you too. How many Republicans do we know who are, you know, business? They're moderate Republicans, they're business people. They don't like taxation. They want fiscal responsibility. They want a strong military. That's basically where it comes down to, and that's they're saying, give me an alternative, and I'll vote for it. Otherwise, I got to vote for Donald Trump. And Bernie Sanders shall not be that alternative.
Exactly.
They're
right.
Not going to break that way.
I can think of a lot of people who don't like Trump that would vote for him in a heartbeat over Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, exactly. For sure. All right, Mark. We'll see you Sunday night. Thank you, sir.
Enjoy Iowa.
Thank you,
Howard.
Thank you, guys.
Thank
see you.
You
soon.
Bye. There he goes. Mark McKinnon. The circus Sunday night. Well, you heard it right there.
I know.
Maybe tomorrow the Mueller report drops. Tomorrow or Friday. A week from Friday.
Any day it happens, it seems to be a surprise. That has remained so buttoned up. You would think it would have leaked.
All right, so a couple of weeks ago, just to pull the screen back on this, Mark and I were going back and forth because we both had people in Washington telling us the exact same thing, using the exact same language, the exact same thing, that there was something coming Again, it was on a Friday, like three Fridays ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going back and forth, and they were talking about changing their schedule, and we were trying to compare, without giving away who our sources were, how close the sources could have been. We're trying to play some geography on that. And it was, and so it turned out by the time we were done with putting those pieces back together, we realized that it's kind of a media feedback loop. It was one of those things where
I was going to say same exact source would have been wild.
We don't know for sure, it was probably somebody who was then informing the people who were both informing us.
I see.
So that became sort of an inside joke. But now, if they're having, you know, there's going to be a moment where Mueller gets this too. Even though Mueller is trying to be the reluctant cowboy here,
mm-hmm.
he wants to be above everything
mm-hmm.
and do this exactly the right way. When he does do it, and again, remember, it goes directly to the Attorney General, and then everybody's going to rush to the Attorney General and go, all right, let's see it.
What's he going to release?
Right.
How much of it? From there, though, pretty sure a lot of it could potentially leak from there, but he gets to decide what will ultimately be released. It makes sense that on a Friday he would drop it, doesn't it, to sort of stay away from the fray of the cable newsers going wild and just sort of...
Oh, but they will, though. And that weekend, the cable newsers, the 3 weekends ago, the cable newsers were keeping their people working.
Oh,
over the weekend
interesting.
For that, because everybody had heard it was coming, and all of a sudden you had these faces that you see Monday through Friday were just showing up on Saturday. Didn't need them. They went back home.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting to see if that happens. And if you have noticed, I've noticed some fill-in people on the cable newsers yesterday and today mm-hmm. because they're giving their mainline talent a day off so that they can work over the weekend.
Hearing the same thing that Mark just told us about. Could be an interesting weekend.
Way to
buckle
look at
up.
This. Yeah. You know what? But once it goes, we're not going to hear, I don't think, too much about it until the House Intel Committee gets it. Because the House Intel Committee is a sieve for both sides.
Totally.
It's like, you might as well buy the... You know,
I don't know how that makes me feel.
It's like telling my mother.
The House Intel Committee.
Right.
It's like telling your mother.
It's like telling my mother something. Because immediately she just tells everybody she knows. There is no difference between the House Intel Committee and my mother.
It'd be funny if your mom told you.
All right, let's check in. Let's find out what's happening in the traffic. Let's just go directly to the traffic here, because that's what people, if you're listening to us on your app, in your car, which you can do, put the app right through the speakers. It's possible to do this. Cuts out the middle, man. What is happening out there? Kids, we are going to announce a new feature today.
Oh,
to the program.
Great.
Lots of things happening here on the.
Plus, we have Willie Wilson stopping by, and we have to really pressure him to see if who he's going to endorse for mayor.
Now he said, "Isn't this something?"
Mm-hmm.
He was on with us last week.
Right.
I think a week ago today. And he said, I'm going to make a decision.
Yep.
Whether it's going to be Lori Loughlin
mm-hmm.
or Turner Preckinkle.
Mm-hmm. And we tried to get it out of him. Which one is it?
And he was doing polls, right? Remember, mm-hmm. he said that.
And he wanted to pray on it.
And he had a lot of different. He was going to talk to people. He had a poll. He was going to. And he wanted to talk to the two candidates themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And see what everybody would do. What's in it for me? That's, I think, the most important thing that any of us, when we think about this, that we think, what's in this for me? That's what politics is all about. So the question we will pose it to him, and he told us he was going to announce it on our show. Now he says he's having a press conference tomorrow morning to announce it.
He's probably not going to want to get ahead of that, but we'll see.
I don't know.
We can make really good questions.
Yeah.
You guys are really good at interviewing people, Ronan. You can extract it from them.
Yeah. Let's see if we can do it.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you a ham sandwich you could do it, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Ah, look at here. I think he's going Lightfoot.
I do, too. I absolutely, yeah, yeah. I think that that would be the favorite if you asked Vic or Nick or who's the guy we talked to.
But both set are handicappers, but we talked to both.
But there's a real one, and then there's a character one, and the we have to be, oh, we have to make sure we know which one, and right now, for the life of me, I could not tell you which one is which.
Whatever.
Nick is the character, right?
Yes.
All right. Good.
Nick's the real one from Bet Chicago.
Right.
Right, that's right.
That's Nick.
That's like Kevin. That's Nick. Right now.
Nick, you think
I'm having a little bit of trouble breathing right now.
Oh, okay.
Just because, well, it's cold and flu season.
Yeah, I hear you.
But right now, Lori Lightfoot is a 2-1 favor.
Yeah.
What time do we see Willie?
Can we get a voter turnout? Or over-under from Nick as well?
Wait, no. I think the voters are now 100,000. He's the over-under.
I'd like to hear Nick talking to Willie. I think that'd be a fun fun segment.
I don't understand the words you just said to me.
All right, I want to play this new feature.
Oh.
That we have concocted.
Oh, I didn't realize we had it. Okay.
Yes, we actually have a new feature.
Sampling.
A 1-minute feature that will appear on this radio program and then maybe in the digital universe.
Terrific.
Ooh.
As well. Nice. Starring one of our cast members. Now, anybody can get a feature. You just have to come over to the office and apply for one.
And then what is the application process like?
Oh, it's long.
Okay.
It's very long. But let's see. This is the new Kevin Powell 1-minute feature. From the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Take a listen.
Time now for Powell's Howl. The ravings, rantings, and occasionally incoherent babble.
It's kind of a big deal.
Of Kevin Powell.
So does it make you chuckle or cringe knowing the newest member of the Bears is Chris Blewett?
Dear God, no!
That's right, Chris Blewett is his name, kind of like Cody Parkey, you blew it!
You blew it!
That's the actual name of the kicker the Bears have brought in to compete for a spot to replace Parkey. Blewett made just 69% of his kicks in 4 years at Pitt. He's been looking for an NFL job for the past couple years. He'll compete with Redford Jones, who was signed earlier this offseason. Jones kicked at Tulsa, and he even had his own Parkey special, a double doink attempt in college. Although his kick did go through the uprights.
Are you proud of me?
But for Chris Blewett and for Redford Jones, just don't blow it.
Hey, Papa!
There you go.
Love it. That's awesome.
That, unfortunately, all true. That's the problem.
So we had Connor birthed it, Cody posted it, and then we've got Chris Blewett. But we have a lot of hope for him. For Chris.
Did we?
I don't know. I think we not.
Did you hear the number? Did you hear what he just said in his feature, Powell's Howl?
Did
you just hear?
I did, but I try to have hope as a Bears fan that this guy is going to be okay now.
69%. 69% in college, right?
Right. Yeah, 22 misses over the course of 4 years at Pitt.
What, so college numbers, are they normally lower?
Yeah, they're always going to be lower than the pros. I don't think the Bears are done adding kickers to the roster. You got Redford Jones and blew it. Who have never kicked in the NFL. They've been bouncing around for the past 2 years trying to find an NFL team. I think the Bears still bring in minimum one more kicker.
You know, there may be a kicker available by the time they get to their position in the draft. But I believe there's a kicker going to go in the first round, they're saying. Right? Isn't there some guy who...
No.
Who's the guy? Isn't there a guy who kicked a 60-yarder in college?
There's only three kickers at the combine, and from what I read, at least one of them probably won't even get drafted. So I don't see the top two kickers. There's one guy from Utah, one guy from LSU. There's not a ton of talent in the draft for kickers.
And Utah, they're at altitude, too, right. So that helps them.
They've got to find probably a veteran kicker to mix this. They might bring a dozen kickers in and say, you guys fight it out, Royal Rumble. Whoever's standing after it gets the kicker position.
What about that 65-year-old from the Patriots?
Gostkowski?
Yeah.
Potentially an option. But you know, the Patriots weren't willing to pay him what he would have got as a franchise. He's going to cost a lot of money. I don't know where the Bears are at with that yet.
And what LA's got the guy that kicks the ball 500
Zerline,
yards.
Zerline, yeah. His ball's still traveling from the NFC North Championship NFC championship game when he drained like a 57-yarder. You know, like extra 20 yards on the thing. Must be nice.
Yes, must be. Must be. All right. All right. None of this makes me feel better. You know what would make me feel better? Kim Gordon's news, although there's a lot of tragedy in that as well. WGN Radio Everywhere, streaming live from Chicago right now. Here's Kim Gordon. Show with Anna DeBlantis on WGN Everywhere. If you're listening to us at WGNRadio.com, maybe the WGN app, maybe you are posting it through your car, maybe you're posting it in your, as Jen said, in your office.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you are, I'm just trying to think of all the ways, you might have a smart speaker and you're telling it to listen to us on TuneIn.
That's what all the cool kids do.
So that's how I listen to Mr. Cochran in the mornings.
Do you yell at your smart speaker? Are you angry in the morning when you tell your smart speaker what to do?
Actually, I freaked myself out this morning. I woke up and, you know, the alarm went off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an inconvenient time.
I know. Always seems that way, doesn't it?
Almost noon.
That's why I don't set one.
Yeah. And
noon?
No, I had to get up at 8. I had things. No. I had to go to see my dentist.
Hmm. It's fun.
You know, Roe Strong, that's how that whole thing started.
Did you have an issue with
cavity
just
free
regular
or, yeah,
cleaning?
Or
yeah, no, I'm cavity free.
Oh, that's huge.
He goes, I'm not going to be able to talk to you for 6 more months. I said, no, I'll find some reason.
Stopping by.
Tom Skilling is here, by the way, joining us for this bit of an inanity.
Well, you know what? I was just going to say, I listen to it through the fillings in my teeth. It comes through those.
See, it's helpful to have cavities.
Yes. Speaking of the dentist.
That works. I see what you did there. That was the old AM joke, is that you could hear it in your braces if you were too close to the transmitter. But the, in the morning, this morning, my alarm goes off at 8.
Yeah.
I know people are like, 8? I get up at 4:30. What the hell are you talking about? I do afternoons. Anyway, so my alarm goes off at 8.
Mm-hmm.
I tell it to stop, you know? It does.
Yeah.
I mean, you say,
oh, really?
Because I'm using the smart speaker now.
Yeah, you have to tell
alarm.
Her to stop, but she keeps going and
so
going.
So I told her, you know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
See, like, I'll scream at my computer and tell it, you know, come on, work faster.
No, this
and
really
it doesn't
works.
Respond.
Do you have a smart speaker yet?
No, I don't.
Oh, it's really pretty interesting. My daughter got me one for Christmas, and I thought it changed everything.
It does.
So Lexi, let's just call her. Let me split the difference and call her Lexi.
Right, because otherwise you'll be activating
other people's smart
elsewhere.
Speakers. Right. So I said, Lexi, stop. And then she stops.
Mm-hmm.
And then and it was like, she stopped too quickly. I felt badly. Like, it was like, oh, fine.
You're like, was I too harsh?
Oh, is that, oh, well, then fine. Although I once did call her Siri accidentally, and she got very mad.
Well, that's, there's the problem right there.
Oh,
you're not respecting her.
You never do that.
You spurned your computer.
Especially in a moment of intimacy.
Yeah.
Don't ever call her Siri. Anyway, the point is, so I said, I'd like to, please play WGN Radio on TuneIn.
Yeah.
And then up pops Steve Cochran every morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I'm able to do that. Now, the only issue is it sounds perfectly clear and perfectly the sound quality is amazing. It sounds like it sounds in our headphones in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly tuned and all of that. The problem is that depending on what device I'm listening to, it's throwing me off on time. Because it might be like a minute or two behind what's really happening, or in some cases, sometimes 3 minutes behind what's happening.
So you're always late for the contest phone call?
Yeah.
Damn it! I wanted those Blackhawks tickets!
Hi, it's Ro again. Am I late?
Ro, that went on like 3 minutes ago, man.
Right, so you never know. So as I'm timing it, because I know like what time the news comes on, or sometimes, I mean, I know. People try to set their clock to these shows between me and Cochran.
Uh-huh.
That's tough enough.
It can be hit and miss. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's particularly... You know, like in the morning, you're getting up and I'm listening. And now I'm in the bathroom and my little speaker in the bathroom is playing. It's different than the speaker in the bedroom and I can't figure that out. I don't know why that's happening. The digital world has just got me a little bit confounded here. That's all I'm trying to say.
So by 2020, 50% of all purchases are going to be done through smart speakers and audio and voice command.
Wow. I haven't done that
yet. As of right now, they're saying most people are using them just the way you are for information, setting alerts and alarms and, you know, finding out basic information, but that the commerce piece of it is going to explode.
That makes sense.
It does.
Yeah.
But you want the screen for that so you can see it, right?
Not necessarily. You just say, Lexi, I'd like to order some groceries. Okay, what'd you like to order? Well, I need, you know, bread, I need cereal, I need my favorite Fruity Pebbles, and you go through the whole thing and can actually deliver it to your house just like that.
Wow.
You're walking around, doing whatever you do.
Yeah, and that sounds very doable. You know, given computer technology. Ro, why do you have a different audio feed? feet in your bathroom than you do in your bedroom?
Tom, that's a good question. I have no idea.
Is it the same system or are they different systems?
No, it's the exact same system.
Yeah, I have them in different rooms, too, but you're still pretty close.
Wow.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, because there's like four Alexas where I live.
Hey,
but they're all in different... Alexi. Sorry, Alexi. And they like sometimes different ones pick them up, you know? So,
right.
Like, the one in the basement starts playing or asking you questions, and you're upstairs.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know. And then
they're jealous at each other, each individual
right.
Lexi.
Yes.
So, and they're fighting.
So, I have one on either side of my bed, because I want to create stereo. Because I'm an audiophile. Yeah. Because you can connect them. So that when you tell them to play something,
and
let's say if I want to play music or something else, or I don't like the idea that it's coming out of, it feels too alarm clocky to me to have it just coming out of one speaker on one side of my bed.
Uh-huh.
I'm way too fancy for that.
Yeah.
Now. I'm full Elton John right now. I am not going to allow it just to be in one little speaker. How dare I do
no,
that?
You know what
that
though? You haven't fully appreciated the Cochran show until you hear it in stereo like that. You know,
right.
It's the same with the con show in the afternoon.
And the little pucks, these little things that are around that they fit perfectly on these like the base of these lamps, and it's like, and it looks cool. So I got them and they connect them, and then it sort of fills the whole room with the sound. Now, what will sometimes happen though is the one on the left side will listen to me when I'm really trying to talk to the one on the right side.
And only one of them will activate?
Well, they both kind of activate, but then they fight with each other because they're doing different things.
Oh.
You set an alarm, and then all of a sudden it's coming out of the other, because one's lower than the other. I don't know. Listen, the point I am ultimately trying to make here is this technology is fantastic.
It is.
For some things, I have yet, and then I get an email every other day. It's like my car emails me, and now my stupid puck emails me and tells me about, you know, if you'd really like to try something. And then I'm like, oh, wait, what? And it's like, ask me a trivia question. And it's like,
they try to get to know you. And sometimes it's a little too much. You know, you're not ready for that.
Well, they're trying to set an algorithm. They're trying to set a behavioral algorithm.
They're trying to figure out everything that's you so that they're more relevant in the search results.
What are you wearing right now? I'm like, none
it's
of your business.
You're not ready for that. It's baby steps.
So what?
Relationships take time.
Yeah.
There's a courting phase. Whatever happened to that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, thank God you don't have eyes, so you don't know what I'm wearing right now.
As far as you know.
Are you going to bed? Who's that with you?
Gee.
What are you doing? What?
Who's that with you?
Gee. Who's she? That's kind of scary, you know, because the reason it's so scary is because it's entirely plausible that they could do that, you know, at some point. So
well, I'm telling you. They probably
could do it now if they wanted to, you know.
There's a store I've never shopped at in my life, and somebody came over and started talking about this particular store, and then the next thing on my phone, I'm getting ads for it on my phone.
That's creepy. Right. Yeah.
That does creep you out, doesn't it? That's happened
it
to all of us. Where something.
Right.
Oh.
And then you find out that people can turn on your speakers and the camera on your computer even as you're working and not even trying to connect with anybody. That's kind of creepy.
You have to opt out of it listening to you. You can on the app, you can opt out of your smart speaker listening passively until it gets triggered.
You know what, Ro,
but then how does it know it's getting triggered?
There's the trick, because, you know, most of us, or at least I'm such an electronic dunce, that I don't know how to do that. I didn't even know you could do that. So, you know, it's not clear to me how... That's why my roommate, Sean Lewis, is fantastic with these devices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are people like that who have an aptitude toward that, and thank heavens you've got somebody like that nearby to say, hey...
Do you guys have a Nest that controls your the temperature and everything at your house?
No.
One of those little fancy dials that you move back and forth, and you can set it and pre-program it and change
We've got kind of cool thermostats they put in, because years ago we had the furnaces replaced, and they are pretty cool. So I think that's what you're talking about, Hannah. It's something like that.
They can do it on your phone. You can change it. Although I never know which I have two different zones, and I'm never sure which one I'm changing.
Yeah.
There's the one for the bedroom, and then there's the one for, like, the living room stuff. Well, and I don't even know. I'm like, did I just make it hotter in here? What did I do? And then I go, Lexi, did I just make it hotter in here? And she goes, I don't really want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if that was a real person, or you were watching television, or were you doing something on your iPad. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Yeah. But you know, the fix for that roast, put wheels on your bed, and then if you get the other side of the room to warm up, just roll it over to the side.
That's one solution, Tom. Thanks for the
suggestion. I know. Well, that's a skilling solution, you know, for this high-tech stuff.
High-tech.
I know. Just don't try and figure out how it works. Just accommodate it, you know, and you know, so.
Right.
Let me just change the. The whole reason I was telling this story.
Yeah.
Was
the reason?
When I woke up this morning and I started talking to the smart speaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a different voice coming out of me. It was like.
Really?
It was a weird sort of sound. I'm like, who is that guy? And I think also Lexi wanted to know as well. Wait a second. Lexi's like, hold on just one second. What's going on in this bed?
I'm definitely going to loan you my doctor. You know, it's just, there's no question about it.
Oh, it was bad. It was like, and I'm like, oh my God, am I getting it? Because everybody here has been sick. And I'm thinking to myself, oh God, no, I'm getting it. And then I wanted to ask Lexi if she could call a doctor for me.
Yeah.
Oh no. Oh gosh. Poor Lexi.
I know. Gosh, I'll tell you.
Again, Ro, you just had me call one yesterday. I mean, my gosh.
Well, I wonder if Lexi knows which kind of doctor to call. You know,
oh, she does, yeah.
You might get a dentist on the line or something like that.
She knows very specifically.
Gotcha.
I will sometimes ask Lexi if it looks funny. Does this look funny to you, Lexi? And she, and again, it's a speaker. She does not know for sure.
I know.
Yeah.
It's frightening, isn't it? How we humanize these devices.
I will tell you, though, it makes parenting a lot easier because the kids, they just, you know, they call out and ask the, you know, the speaker to just help them out with everything. And, you know, you don't have to have all the answers anymore because Alexi does.
You know what's amazing is you ask these machines a completely inane question just to see what they say.
And
you know, and it's amazing how ingenious some of the responses are. That clearly whoever's programmed these things has thought this thing through pretty extensively.
Well, it's the AI piece that's really kind of starting to freak me out because now it's teaching itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when it starts we all know how that ended in 2001, A Space Odyssey.
I know.
Next thing you know, you're getting your oxygen line cut off, you know.
Right. Yeah, you find yourself outside the spacecraft and you can't get back in.
I'm trying to get back in!
Yeah.
Lexi's heating up your room to 170 degrees.
I know. Yeah.
Wait a minute, I didn't ask for that.
I'm being sous vide in my own bed.
Yeah.
Hey, wait! I know, this whole thing is not good.
Mm-mm.
So I don't know how I feel about any of it. All right. you've turned me on to something, though, that I get this list from when I get an email from her.
Mm-hmm.
Of things, hey, please ask me this. And you're exactly right. She's trying to figure stuff out about me.
Yeah.
And I just don't think I'm ready for that. I'm not doing that with humans, let alone a machine.
Did you see today that Zuckerman is saying that they're going to change the orientation of Facebook, I guess. In other words, instead of it being designed to send a message out to a broad audience, they're going to start encrypting it somewhere down the road and being more individually oriented.
Yeah, they're trying to protect your chat and your intimate conversations, they said, rather than the alternative, what they've been accused of, that everybody can see everything that you have.
Sure.
Now they want to, they're pivoting. Like, are they going to do no screenshots in messaging?
I wonder. I wonder how far that's going to go.
Like they're going to encrypt your messages and do direct messaging and totally protected.
I want to talk about this. Now, what do we have after this? Are we open after this? Because I want to talk about this. This is pretty wild. This woman who is getting, she's a single woman in Michigan, 31 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She is constantly getting direct message requests from guys she doesn't know.
Wow.
Okay.
That she's like second or third generation away from knowing. You know how that works, Facebook or whatever.
Yeah.
And so she started charging them for a response. Like, if you want me to respond, it's $25.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We'll talk about that on the other side.
Dumb.
It's actually pretty funny. It's funny what happened, and then the guy was not happy about it. I just, that whole, like, social media DM relationship thing is freakier to me than this speaker talking to me and then getting mad at me because I'm not answering her questions properly. It's weird.
Well, you don't know exactly who you're talking to. You know, that's
really true.
You know, when you see somebody, you take on a subject like climate change, I put online, and you get this flurry of stuff back, and I'm becoming increasingly convinced a lot of this is bots.
Yeah.
You know, that people, and that would be true of any controversial issue,
sure.
You know. There are people paid to try and influence thinking on any particular topic, and therefore, you know, what you get is
either paid or personally incentivized by their own. They've decided that they're going to be the self, because it's been going on in talk radio well before the bot,
sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Anybody who's been a producer in talk radio knows that the same crap they're seeing on Facebook, they've been hearing on the telephones,
sure,
for years and years and years and years. It's always the same, the exact wording of these, of certain arguments, political arguments, along an exact defined line, and it's generally sent out by people who consume media or consume. They're part of a group. They're part of a political action committee, or they're part
right.
of the NRA has been doing this, and they certainly don't keep it a secret. I mean, they're talking points. The NRA magazine, I think Shooter, is that what it's called? Used to be, I think it is actually.
That's an appropriate.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Yeah, but they used to have you know. Call your congressman, or call if you want to call talk radio with talking points.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And so those talking points memos have always been out there.
Yes.
And now they just hit on social media in a way.
I suppose that's right, Ro. I hadn't really thought about that, but yeah, it's interesting. I came to the fore when you found when we heard about the Russian interference in the election and
yeah.
all the rest,
mm-hmm.
and they figured out. Well, I think a lot of people have figured that out beyond the Russians, and probably have been working
oh, yeah.
on it for some.
The North
some
Koreans,
time. Yeah,
have been doing it. The Israeli government has been doing it. The Chinese, obviously.
Yeah.
So you know, this is that there are the British. Do it, but the British also got took. It seems like the United States and the British got took real good in the last couple of years by the
yeah.
system that the populations have, that there has not been enough of a public conversation about social media and how it actually works in the United States and in Britain, because we got the Britain with Brexit.
Yep.
Totally got screwed in
yep.
this deal.
Yeah.
They're like, wait a second, how did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
now they still can't figure out how to get
where
out of it.
Where do we go from here?
Right. Because it was a completely, listen, they may not have been happy with the European Union, that there's a way to reconfigure that, but to blow the whole thing up, this whole idea of just cutting things off and blowing them up immediately.
Yeah.
I said this yesterday, everybody was like, this country sucks. Go to another country and come back. You'll be back. You'll be rushing back here in 15 minutes for running electricity, hot water, and ice.
You're right.
Beautiful no, countries.
So true.
Right? You go to Italy. I love Italy. I love France.
Mm-hmm.
There's an underpants joke in here. I love going there. It's really interesting, but you cannot. You cannot wait to land at O'Hare.
Yeah.
When you get back.
Happy to be home always.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's the McDonald's and Starbucks.
Right. And it's just, I know it's part
well,
of what we're
like
used
a,
to, but those places,
yeah.
and you go, well, we should be more like who? Who should we be more like?
Yeah.
Right? Nobody, that's one thing Americans go, well, we should be more like Hungary. Go to Hungary and see what goes on there.
Yeah. Well, I think we're very self-critical. And that's both good and bad. I mean, I think it makes us think about what we're doing, you know, and although, I don't know, in recent years, I don't know.
We've been come too focused on each other,
rail.
I think.
Yeah.
Right? The polarization piece of that, I think,
yeah.
is what we're all sort of feeling now, that
yeah.
people are in tribes and different sides
yes.
and just
good
kind of going
point,
after
yeah.
each other rather than
yeah.
sort of
right.
being critical of us as an us.
Bro, exactly. you've been working out, by the way. You just ripped that microphone on.
I've
never seen you do that quite that way, Ro.
Ripped the microphone off the microphone arm here that hovers in front of me, and I'm holding it in my hand. If you heard that sound, it was a weird sound. It was because I was just moving it.
The look on your face.
I had like a
Hulk
kind of a moment. I'm
yeah,
like, how
did
that just happen?
He was fired up by the whole America talk. Yeah, I'm strong, damn it. We're America.
Best country.
Best country in the world.
I like McDonald's.
Bench press.
That's right, brother.
Right, brother. Let's go do some push-ups.
You know what, though? Opening those doors in the station there.
It's a workout, Tom.
Yeah.
It is.
That's what it is.
Think
well, I've been working out a little bit, Tom.
I know. Yep.
You know, a little
Tom.
No big deal.
Pumping some iron.
That's right, brother. I'm also taking these new supplements. Maybe talk like this a lot.
Remember John Candy on SCTV when they do the exercise? They did that mock television station.
Yes.
And he would do the exercise routine, and his exercise was opening and closing the refrigerator door. You know, as he fed himself. It was, and he said, "Oh, awesome. Wow!" He'd get all worn out doing that, you know, to grab a couple of sandwiches, and so that's what you guys are doing with the doors there.
That's just right.
You're strengthening. It's like a strengthening exercise.
That's right, brother.
Feels like it.
Yeah,
it really does.
So Rose tearing the
he's stronger than he used to be because he's got heavy doors now, building up those muscles.
And I automatically got tan too. I don't know what it's about.
You got a bandana.
These guys that were like take supplements. That's like the most amazing thing. Is these guys are like, and then next thing you know, their wives are reporting that they're really angry and they're uncontrollable in their rage. And like, really? Have you ever seen the WWE?
You know something, isn't adding testosterone though, doesn't that increase a cancer risk in males?
I don't care, brother. I got great pets.
I thought I'd read that years ago. I should ask our doctor here, Dr. Khan.
Yes.
If there's anything to that, but
I don't think it's particularly good for you.
No.
Unless you really need it. And let your doctor tell you.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, ask Lexi to tell you whether
Lexi
or not it's good for you.
So you don't even need doctors anymore. You got Lexi.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, we got
to
run.
Hey, guys, good to talk to you.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great one, Ro.
Thank you, Tom.
Anna.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, Tom.
Kevin, see you later,
bye,
guys.
Tom.
Bye-bye.
There it is.
Tom Skilling. All right. Can we get back to the regular programming here? We'll just, Kim, right now I'm literally holding pieces of this microphone in my hand. Hopefully we can get the pit crew in here to change this out during your newscast. But if not, I would like to, I think it's pretty impressive. I was able to
You're real strong.
I was able to actually rip metal apart while I'm sitting here. Although this might be plastic.
Yeah, I think it is.
Your turn.
The Ro Khan Show with me, Anna DeBlantis. We've got some microphone issues over on Ro's side, and without a microphone, it's kind of hard to talk. So we're going to talk about the governor unveiled his graduated income tax and his tax plan today, and it's certainly causing a bit of a stir in terms of people saying, well, what is it, and what does it mean for me? And some people will pay more taxes under this plan. Some people will pay lower taxes under this plan. And it's particularly punitive for people who make a lot of money. But let's find out more about it. Steve Daniels, he's from Crane Chicago Business. He knows what's what in this plan. So he unveiled it today, the governor did, but it's nowhere near being passed. Is that right, Steve? This is sort of a proposal that's being vetted?
Right. It's sort of the first time that the governor, who's talked about the graduated income tax for a long time, has put any details out there in the public in terms of what, you know, he considers to be people who are wealthier who can afford to pay more versus those who maybe should be given a break.
So here, he was saying that people who are making under 100,000 would likely be paying a little less, was my understanding. But as you get above 100,000, particularly above 250,000, you start to pay more. Folks who make over $1 million, they would be up near that 8% for all of their income, is
right.
The big headline that I've seen. Explain some of that so that people can understand where they might fall.
Yeah, I mean, the way that the governor's administration is pitching this is that, if you make less than $250,000, you're likely to see a cut of some kind. It may be very modest, but you're likely to see your taxes go down. There's some tax credits for children, for property tax relief, et cetera, and the rates for people making less than $250,000 are basically the same as they are today, if not a tiny bit less. So the pitch is 97% get a tax break of some kind, 3% pay more. So that
you're
sounds pretty good.
Household income, right? When you say 250 or these
right.
numbers, it's for the entire household.
Right.
Right. So at least that's how I understand it. Now, you know, there may be some. No, it is single and joint filers both. So yes, household. Now the big. I think surprise in this because the idea here, as everybody was discussing it, was these are going to be marginal tax increases, meaning every bit of income you make over a certain amount is what would get taxed at the higher rate, not everything you make. So meaning you make, say, $350,000, the first $250,000 is taxed at, you know, today's rate, and then the other $100,000 is taxed at the higher rate, which in that case is 7.75%.
So anybody making $350,000, anything over $250,000 goes up to 7.75%.
Just for the amount that's over.
Just for the amount that's over. What was the surprise was for those who make more than $1 million, they would not see a marginal increase. They would see the top rate of 7.95% assessed on the entirety of their income. Now, that was a bit of a surprise, sort of in keeping with the millionaire's surtax that the speaker had tried to push a few years ago, and was, you know, a little more aggressive maybe than some might have anticipated. There's a lot of questions about what kind of behavior that might incentivize to try to avoid that, et cetera, but that's the proposal that is before us right now.
So behavior, some of it being legal, most of it being legal.
Right, I think we're discussing legal behavior.
Thank you.
I don't know. You know, Michael Cohen's attorneys are attorneys, so I don't know. We have an interesting little world going on here. Right. I want to know, though, is this going to affect the flight out of Illinois? I mean, that's what the big conversation has been. And you
question.
Don't want millionaires. People go, well, who cares? Millionaires can leave. No, because those millionaires own businesses that employ people here.
They own property. They pay property taxes. They consume.
Right. Yeah, I think that's obviously going to be a point of discussion here. You know, we've heard a lot of rhetoric along those lines, you know, the flight issue. You know, to the extent you look at data, and I don't pretend to have crunched all of this stuff in any great detail, but, you know, I listen to these conversations in the newsroom and elsewhere about this, and I'm not sure we've seen a ton of evidence of real high earners fleeing, you know, Illinois, unless, you know, maybe in retirement, going down to Florida, et cetera, which has been going on for decades.
That's
without taxes.
That's true, but I actually know of, and that's all anecdotal, right? So I can't look at actual things.
There's definitely, I mean, I have a good friend who left Illinois, who's a reasonably wealthy person, too. I mean, I certainly know of anecdotal stories like that, too.
Yeah.
But the issue of whether we've seen it in any meaningful way, I think that's an open question. But at any rate, if you were talking about, you know, now a pen to paper on a real proposal, maybe that changes things. Maybe that's certainly going to be part of the discussion. There's no question about that.
So there need to be some sort of what would need to happen, and let's say that everyone agrees this is the perfect plan, and what would happen in order to make this the reality?
The General Assembly would need to pass a constitutional amendment that would then go before the voters, probably in the 2020 presidential election. So. Illinoisans, I believe, and I'm not a master of the process here, but for sure what I know is that the plan is to put this before the General Assembly by the end of this current session, you know, whether it's this one or some amended version, which would then be approved to be put as a constitutional amendment, a question before the voters of Illinois, and could only be adopted with a supermajority of voters in Illinois.
66%, right? Of voters. That was my recollection of it, too. So it's not
high
50 plus one. It is.
Right.
There are high hurdles here. And I think it would be hard to get 66% on this because, you know, Illinois, even though it is now dominated by Democrats in Springfield, is not really a blue state. It's kind of a purple state. Mm-hmm. Now, the actual, even up here in Cook County, and certainly in DuPage County and Lake County. Cook County is really the only, there's only one blue county, happens to be the largest county, and account for 60% of the population of the state, but it is still, I don't think, going to be enough, because in Cook County, when you take in the northern suburbs and you take in, and there's going to be a fight on people's hands here. So,
well, that is for sure. I don't know that I would agree with you that Illinois is not a blue state, but I do think that this particular issue, you know, it hits people right where it counts, in their wallet, and I think what the governor has put forward here is, in bringing this back to a bigger picture kind of thing, is basically saying, hey, we need to do something about the fiscal basket case that is the state of Illinois. We've got three options as he sees it. One is to dramatically cut operating expenditures to the point where public services like state police would be really undermined. The second one is to raise the income tax on everybody, keep it the flat rate, and raise it. To raise the same amount of money, you would need to raise it by a percentage point, so from 4.95% currently to 5.95%.
So a 6% tax as opposed to a 7.75% and everything over $250,000.
Right, exactly. And then he perceives this as being an easier sell than that increase on everybody.
There are always ways to get around that.
I think he's correct. So then the question is, you start getting into the devil is in the details. Plus, we're not even mentioning this is also a corporate tax increase, because the corporate rate of 7% would go up to 7.95%. So
there goes our Amazon idea.
There would be more taxes on corporations as well. But again, the pitch is going to be the status quo that the state of Illinois has been in for now for years, several years, of just complete fiscal uncertainty, near junk bond ratings, et cetera. That is not sustainable. That's not desirable. And paying more, even if you're a business or a rich individual, to get some certainty is worth it. Now, that's going to be the pitch. And I think some business people are open to that. But the question is, they don't want the state coming back again and again and again. Right. They want it to be, this is it. What's the pain? How much is it going to hurt me? And then that's it.
Now, how do you guarantee that, though?
Right? You don't.
I mean, there's no way to guarantee.
Obviously, you have a business cycle, right? You have recessions that happen, and when recessions happen, then all bets are off. So, there are no guarantees. Absolutely not. So it's a swallow hard kind of thing.
Right. So you're at Crane Chicago Business. Is that what you're hearing from the business community overall? I know this is fairly new, but it's been kind of, there weren't that many surprises in what the governor suggested today, other than that piece about the millionaires will have to pay the 7.75 on the entirety of their earnings.
Right, 7.95, just 9, not, not not the word.
Sorry.
Which is 20.2 percentage point. But I have not, frankly, gotten a ton of reaction at this stage. I do agree with you that I don't think this is going to be much of a surprise to anybody in the business community. And again, the opinions on this are all over the map. Now, if you can get, if you're a business in a certain part of the state and you can get some property tax relief in exchange for this, maybe it looks good to you. Anytime you do major tax changes, it's easy to generalize, but it always comes down to each individual or each business's individual situation.
Yeah.
The governor's got smart people working for him. I'm sure they have looked and sliced and diced this any number of ways to make this politically saleable. And I think that's what we have on our hands right now is their first crack at solving the problem with something that will pass muster politically. And to this point, I it looks like a smart political play, but again, we just have to wait and see.
All right, Steve, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Steve Daniels, Crane Chicago Business. Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Thanks,
thank
Steve.
You.
All right, let's check in now with Kim, find out what's happening in the news at the top of the hour.
We'll bring you part three of our series, R. Kelly Offstage.
Con Show with me, Anna DeBlantis. We've had some technical problems today, guys. We've got them. Ro is without a microphone. And do you know how angry Ro is when he doesn't have a microphone? Can you imagine Ro without a microphone?
He walks away. Everything he's grabbing just rips off. He grabbed the door handle, that ripped off. He grabbed his cell phone and shattered the screen.
He's like the Hulk today.
He's giving new meaning to mic drop.
Totally.
Exactly.
He's so the funny thing about broadcasting is when you don't have a mic, you just it's very difficult.
You can't be heard, and then you get frustrated.
And so he's storming around. I heard him say, "Get Don on the phone," and then he ran out of the studio and he got picked up the phone as he was running to the manager's office to try to say, "I don't know. Good luck. Good luck,
everyone,
Todd."
Everyone just keeps saying, "Who's Don, bro? We don't know who Don is."
Exactly. It's his thing.
Well, Don technically is my husband.
Okay, oh. Maybe that's who he's looking for.
Yeah. Can Don help, bro, you think?
Is he technically savvy?
Poor Don can't do much of anything right now with the leg, but he's technically savvy.
Did he have the ACL or the MCL? What did your husband have again?
Four fractures between the tibia and fibula, a break, and then two torn ligaments. Yay, Chicago winter.
And that was all due to the ice.
Ice, yeah. Ice.
Incredible. You hear these stories, and it's just, and your husband's a very fit young man and everything, and he still slipped. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So we're moving to San Diego. No, I'm joking.
He probably feels like it at this point.
Sounds like a good plan.
But is he playing the baby thing? You know, because sometimes they do that when they're like, you have to do everything for him kind of thing.
We're trying to do everything we can for him, but I definitely know he's in pain. So.
Oh, poor guy. Yeah. I feel bad for even saying that.
Well, does he? Because I get you could tell if he's milking it a little, but he's frustrated enough by now that he's like really wanting to get up and do things and stuff. But it's just, you know, too much is too much, and too much is just a very little.
Yeah. It's like, what, 6 weeks?
And that he's got like 6 more weeks with a cast, and then he's got a walking boot and all that fun stuff. And, you know, it was 2.5 weeks before he even had surgery because the swelling had to go down. So it's,
and then physical therapy, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I've never had anything like that, and I feel for him. I feel for you, too. That's tough for you guys to be going through.
Yeah.
And
we like to run and work out together, and now it's like, I'll go to the gym by myself.
Oh, and you take him to doctor's appointments and everything?
When I can, but since I've been here a lot, his mom's been very helpful.
Oh. See, bro, there's somebody with a real injury. Not like the Roe Strong stuff we talk about all the time. Her husband is like in one of those little carts, right, that you have to wheel yourself around and everything?
Yeah.
Like, it's like a...
For your leg?
He hasn't gotten that yet. He's not to that stage.
Oh, I thought you told me he was getting that. Oh, my gosh.
He will get it. Right now, he's doing the wheelchair.
Oh, the wheelchair.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
gee.
Oh, that's the worst.
Oh, poor guy.
The Paul Manafort?
Yeah. The full Paul Manafort.
Right. Is he wouldn't happen to be a defendant in federal court,
is he wearing a green jumpsuit?
Oh.
Get the wheelchair.
Hey,
you know, all the help you can get, buddy.
Put the oxygen on him, too. And who's got the makeup? Makeup look real pasty.
Throw a neck brace on while you're at it.
Are green jumpsuits comfortable?
That's what he's wearing, Paul Manafort.
Oh, man. How long is he going to be in the wheelchair?
Well, he's starting to use the crutches and get back up and stuff. It's just, you know, even trying to use those and, like, carry that leg and all that is pretty heavy. But,
is he going to be able to get back in shape to, because don't you run like ultra marathons and things like that?
Yeah, and he's supposed to be crewing me for a couple coming up this spring.
What does that mean?
Okay,
I have never heard of that either.
Crewing.
But thank God, because I heard something totally different. But go ahead. So what does that mean?
So he'll go to point to point, like to the different aid stations, and help
so
me.
So stays
out
ahead of you a little bit. And then he gets to drive. See, I could do that.
Driving.
Job. See, I could do that.
You could crew someone.
Oh, sure, I could crew him. But what's the deal with... But he runs these, too.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, he doesn't.
No, okay. He doesn't. But he likes when I'm out of the house for the whole day because he gets him quiet.
How far do you go?
So the upcoming ones I have is a 31 at the end of the month. In May, there's a 50, and in June...
A 50. You're going to run 50 miles.
That's 50 miles?
In a day.
Yeah.
In a day.
And then in June, there's a 62-mile one.
Jen!
Whoa!
Whoa.
Yeah.
I can't drive 62 miles.
Oh my gosh. Nobody likes to drive that long.
I'm done crewing you. I'm done. I'm not going to do this. I would like to now.
It's true. You'd have to drive 62 miles if you want to crew.
I'd like to recrew myself from this because I don't think I should do it. 62 miles?
But guys.
How do you run 62 miles?
You just keep moving forward and sticking things in your mouth like meatball sandwiches and submarines and chocolate Oreos.
Really?
And oh, yeah.
How are you not throwing that right back up?
You need to train your body more to learn how to eat when you're doing it than even the running part.
Yeah. I had no idea. And so,
so good. So much food.
But it was just like little stations, and you just go grab an Oreo, and you eat it, and then you get a sandwich, and you eat it, and you just, like, as you're going along.
Every 3 to 5 miles, there's an aid station, and, you know, these are out in the middle of the woods. And it's not like the Chicago Marathon, where they give you, like, a gel and a banana and some, like, yellow Gatorade.
They're like, here's a slab of ribs.
Yeah, they're like, hey, do you
Kevin,
want
you
some,
might like, this.
I know.
Straight
I'm intrigued,
Coca-Cola, Mountain Dew, get slab, actually, meatball subs, and...
keg stands in the middle of the forest.
Pancakes. When you do, like, the 100-milers, where you're doing it overnight, they have breakfast. I've only done one of those. It was hell. But yeah.
Really? Because 62 is not hell.
No, the 62 you can finish in one day and you can go to bed at night. But like, yeah, with the...
How long does it take to run 62 miles?
I don't know.
How long does it take you to run a marathon? 26 miles.
Oh, I'm not that fast. It's about like 4.5 hours. That's my like average.
Okay, so this would have to be like 12 hours for you to run 62 miles then, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it'll probably take longer than that. You know, with a husband being home, too, I feel badly. Like, I'm not going out and getting, like, 20-mile training runs in and stuff like that. I'm doing, like, hey, here's five.
Well, first of all, if you're running, you live in the city, right? So if you're running 20 miles, you're already, like,
you could
in
run to work.
Lake Forest, aren't you? And then you, like... How does that work?
I don't know. You just find a park and run around in circles about 70 times. The lakefront path. I mean, that's a great go-to. It's
okay, so then you're in Gary. And they're like, oh, wait, I think I went too far. I'm going to turn around now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a fun thing to do because then you can use Navy Pier as your aid station and stop and eat a rainbow cone and then keep running.
Oh,
and...
you can eat all that stuff? Like, is there anything you can't eat when you're doing the 62 miles?
Oh, gosh. I don't.
I would be so sick.
I know.
I'm getting sick listening to that. I'm not sure.
I can't even, like, drink coffee or anything before I work out for an hour. I can't imagine what 62 miles would be like.
I had no idea you could eat that kind of stuff.
Well, after about mile 35, it starts turning into a cycle where you're, like, dead and you can't move. So you do a little caffeine and you have something to eat, and then all of a sudden you're nauseous and you're taking ginger to settle your stomach. And then you get this burst where, like, 2 miles, you're... fighting the world and everything's great, and then all of a sudden you're dead again, so you have to eat again, so you get nauseous again. So
see, on the dead part, that's where I quit. See, that's where I just give up right there. It's like, okay, I'm dead. All right, that's it, I'm done.
You're on a 5K.
And nothing else I can do.
I'm on a 5K, I'm dead.
I can't get through this. 5K? I've gone 3 blocks, right? I'm dead. I can't do this.
It is it's remarkable because the training has got to be outrageous.
It's just a lot of running and eating. That's what it boils down to.
And then when you're done with this, how long does it take to recover from a 60? All right, so 62 is the max you want to do. How long does that take to recover from after you're done?
You know, typically I just keep running. I think that's the secret.
What are you running from? What's going on here?
We're running from, I would say, like, heart disease and obesity and stuff like that, but I'm telling you, I'm eating, like, chocolate chip cupcakes as I'm running, and, you know, certain distances aren't always great for your heart. I don't know.
I don't know. It's an interesting thing.
This is a whole different
running
level.
Running from that underachieving teenager that I once was or something like that. I don't know.
There's a whole Forrest Gump story in here somewhere. I'm just not exactly sure what it is.
Dude.
But it is really that
Great American Trail from the East Coast to the West Coast. If somebody sponsored me, I would run it.
Oh, we got to do that for you. Are you kidding?
I would take like 5 months and I would just like, you know, throw in 20 to 30 miles a day and do that whole Great American Trail just like Forrest Gump.
Just 20 to 30 miles a day.
What?
Just.
You guys would be able to do it. I promise you.
Oh,
you'd be able to do it.
Yeah. Sure. I got weak ankles. I after a block, I'm like, all right, hold on a second. Hold on. Put my hands on my knees. Wait. I'm right there.
Well, of course it hurts after a block, and that's kind of the whole thing. Like, my mom always said to me, why can't you just be normal and run, like, 3 miles? Because 3 miles hurts for anybody. You don't have the muscle memory, your lungs haven't gotten warmed up, and, I mean, yeah, it takes a little bit to work up that endurance and everything, but...
Your lungs warmed up?
Yeah, but most of the time...
My lungs coming out after the first block!
They're just... Those first 3 miles are awful, and then, you know, you get warmed up...
That's the runner's high. That's what you're chasing.
Exactly.
That's what's going on. Yeah. The runner's high. See, I am a firm believer in that I will not go running unless I'm running to or from something. Fire, you know, bad guys, that's the from. And then two, well, I have priorities. But I cannot imagine what that must be like. And the sense of completion there, wow, it's got to be something when you get, after 62 miles, you got to be pretty jacked, right?
Well, you get your burgers and you get the best sleep of your life.
I'll bet.
Yes, forever would
well,
be
like,
mine.
You're talking about the thing I ran, or I'm running from. The thing, when I did my 100-mile race, I had a friend named Alfredo, and he was suffering from ALS. He was just diagnosed. And I was ready to quit at mile 80, but they drove him 5 hours down to come and see me finish.
Wow.
And
oh.
he's like,
oh, God.
I just want to see you finish.
Oh.
So I run up to him at mile 80, and I was like, you saw me finish. I'm done. I can't finish this.
That's
and
something my mother would do, though. That's exactly. I'm sorry. You did not. You didn't show up yesterday when you said you were going. At mile 40, they'd bring her out. You didn't. And okay, I had a ride going.
So, like, I laid my head on his knee. I fell asleep for a minute when everybody yelled at me to get up. And they're like, he's never going to be able to run again.
Who are you?
And if you don't finish this, that's on you. And somehow I was able to finish it.
How?
That's pretty motivational stuff.
Yeah, so that right there is reason enough. Now, I don't know. It's just, and it's always something that stuck with me. And, you know, if you don't think that you can do something like a 5K, there's so many people out there that really can't. And you can do it. You can do it.
Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm done.
No, I'm done. I should not be sitting here, is what I just decided.
I think I just hijacked the news. I'm so sorry.
No, I think you just hijacked morality on this program, which we have never had before. There's no one has, I mean, Anna a little bit and from time to time, but there's no one else on this that are like great American heroes on this show.
No, that was very motivational, actually. Makes you want to do something.
Hey, there's a Chase Corporate Challenge coming up.
I got that thing. All right.
Wow.
Let's do this.
Were you listening?
Because we're about to. What inning are they in the White Sox?
The eighth.
All right. Because we'll be joining back the radio station here coming up, and I'd like to get the top five in. See, that's as hard as I'm going to work. Some other people have been slaving over the top five of five, but we're sitting here, you know, doing nothing. And the. And now I'm worried about just being able to get that in time. And she just got done running 62 miles. What did you run today?
I only did like three. I gotta stop saying that. I did 3.5.
All
That's
right.
what I did.
Okay.
Made that puppy
I don't
go
think
about
I've,
a mile.
I don't think I've driven 3.5 today.
Yeah, don't. If you don't have to, don't.
All right.
Driving, look it. I'm looking at a bunch of red right now.
All right.
I'll tell people about it.
Okay. Yeah, it's okay. Okay, all right. Kev, she's making me feel bad about myself.
I believe in you.
Me or her?
All of you.
All right. Mostly you. I think she's good. She doesn't need any more motivation.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm
you're speechless.
I am. I can't believe somebody runs 62 miles and goes, yeah, no big deal. I'm like, 100's worse.
I'm like nothing. There's so many people out there that do this like every weekend.
Okay, well. I don't know them. I've never met them.
Yeah.
And now I know you, and I don't know how I feel about any of this. And I'm with your mother on this. Why don't you, honey, why don't you just run 3.5 miles like everybody else does? All right, let's now check in. Kim Gordon, you've got the WGN News and WGN Everywhere. All right, my stream fellows and fell, or what's the...
The female version
yes, what would be
of
the
fellows?
fellow female. Anybody help me here? Help me, oh my God.
Colleagues? Are you talking to your colleagues?
I'm talking about the people who are listening on the stream right now. Stay right here. We're about to join the big superstation, WGN, the 50,000-watt flamethrower.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to figure out how we're going to do this. There's people running around screaming back there. That's all I can hear.
It's been a lot of that today.
Hard.
It's been one of those days.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if we just, like, crash into the terrestrial. And it's like, hey, it's Ro now.
And that's basically what's going to happen. Yeah, we already joined this program, this wild piece of crap in progress. This has been a wild one.
The
stream show is always a little wider.
A little wackadoodle?
Yeah. But the stream show today, starting at 3 o'clock. And again, remember, when White Sox baseball's on, we're going to be on the stream.
Mm-hmm.
But... it has been a wilder ride than we thought, but we learned something about Jen DeSalvo.
Absolutely.
That we did not know.
I mean, we knew you were this runner who was like amazing and would run every day and have done a lot of marathons, I thought. But then you told us 62 miles?
62 mile marathons. This is not a marathon. You got super marathons, right? Is that what they call those?
Well, yeah, ultra marathons.
Ultra marathons.
My doctor always calls them super marathons.
Yeah, your doctor, who you're seeing quite a bit. I've never seen anything like this.
My doctor is an MMA guy, so, like, he's totally on the same
way. Oh, he is?
So he gets it.
He's one of those guys?
Yeah.
That's my brother.
Does he talk like that too?
Deep voice.
Do you call everybody brother? Does he have a really thick neck? Because those guys can...
He has a thick neck, but he doesn't have a very deep voice like that.
I like those guys. They have a thick neck, and they're all roided up. They're all right, that's right, brother. they got testosterone squirting out of the top. They got no hair, except testosterone squirts out of the top of their head like a lawn sprinkler.
That's how you know. You can identify when it
comes out.
Yeah, what is that? Never mind, brother. I'm fine. Once you're on that, you have to start calling everybody brother. I don't know why it is. No matter man, woman, whatever it is.
Sit to your mom. What's up, brother? What's for dinner?
they're constantly either going to or coming from lifting, no matter what.
That's true.
What are you doing? There's one thing.
Sometimes they still have that, what is that, back brace thing they wear?
Right, the lift, whatever that thing is.
Just to tell you that they've done that.
Yeah. Ah, I don't know. Like a doctor? I don't know how I feel about that. When the doctor's doing that. All right, pee in this cup, brother.
Mind if I get some curls in during this exam?
Let's get this over with. We got to do the prostate exam now. Oh, no.
Okay. Not the guy
fine.
For that.
I'm fine.
I think I'm good.
Want someone with a light touch.
Oh, wait. Oh, no. Wait, whoa. No, we're going to get this done fast. Don't worry about it. Why are your fingers that size? They've got this, your fingers have muscles on them.
Are we still on the stream?
Yeah, thank God.
Thankfully.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Great 20 question.
20 seconds left. All right.
Excellent question.
Let me know when we're heading over to this thing.
Then we'll class it up a little bit, right? Isn't that the plan? Is that possible?
Welcome back to the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Already in progress.
Boy, is it ever.
Yes, it's been something. It's really been something. That's all I can say. If you have not joined us on the stream before, and maybe you'd like to, in some of these games, there may be a moment where, you know, it seems in hand and you just decide you want to see what goes on the stream. The conversation that was just had on the stream is not one that could ever be had on the radio.
It could not. It will not, it would not, and it could not.
Yes.
But it just did.
But we want to welcome you. We started at 3 o'clock today, as we will throughout the White Sox season. As they take to the air there. And congratulations to the White Sox. They won today. That was good. Nice.
Go Sox.
Nice moment right there.
Excellent.
All right. Now, it is time for us to get to the top. We wait to play the top five of five for you. So here we go.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
Well, isn't this nice to know that Congress is doing the people's work?
Yes.
In Washington, D.C. today, they had to pass a resolution condemning anti-Semitism and all forms of hate.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
That's right. They added Islamophobia, racism, and other forms of bigotry.
Now we have just a lot more hate that we have to... But some of the hate's coming from them. I mean, you never thought when Democrats were going to take over the House of Representatives, they're going to have to... They have to actually condemn their own rhetoric as hateful.
They did not mention her by name, the congresswoman who's at the center of this.
Ilhan Omar. She's accused a Jewish lobbying group of demanding members of Congress show allegiance to Israel, and that it's a money-based thing playing into a bunch of tropes and a bunch of other things. And you know, I think it's okay to criticize Israel, the government of Israel, but when you sort of tie in the criticism into stereotyping, Ilhan Omar would not want that, I would imagine, right? So now, here's Nancy Pelosi.
Attacks on Jewish people, anti-Semitic tropes, prejudicial accusations, or any other form of hatred is deeply and unequivocally offensive and must be condemned wherever it is heard. All of us must remember, as members of Congress, as President of the United States, that our words are weightier once we cross the threshold into Congress, and indeed they weigh a ton when someone becomes the President of the United States.
That's right, brother.
Where's that guy? He needs to be in Congress.
They had a congressman.
Jim Johnson. That's my old newsman.
Yeah.
We
love Jim.
What's that guy's name? Johnson guy from... Jim Johnson.
Jordan, right?
Jim Jordan.
Right. Yeah.
Jim Jordan. He's that guy. That's right, brother. That's right, Michael Cohen.
The wrestling coach. Who wants to grapple? Come on. Let's let a wrestling match decide this.
God. The awkwardness of this, though, is like, are they condemning hate, which I think we all can jump on board, or are you sort of policing your own membership, right? Is this what, I mean, what are you doing here?
Well, they had a congressman come out. He's like, you know, there's been an uptick in racism, sexism, anti-Semitism. He named everything. He goes, so today's a good day to, you know, condemn it all. He's like, we're just going to cover our base here.
Really?
He named everything.
Again, but see, that's what Democrats do. They name everything, and then they go, okay, we're all fixed now, aren't we? Now we're fine.
Everything's
fixed.
Good.
Are we fixed? Okay, fine. Let's move along.
Fight, brother!
All right. So that plays into what we were talking about before. I just realized that this audience has no idea what I'm talking about.
That's right true. Now. We were on the stream before.
Yes.
When we told those
We were
jokes.
Talking about the fact that there's too many guys taking testosterone supplements in the world now. And other forms of, because they want to work out like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, it has nothing to, yeah, you had to be there. All right, checking in at
number four.
R. Kelly burst into tears in a second segment aired this morning on CBS this morning. Now, Gail King sitting there, right? And at one point, she asked him if it was true that he was worth $100 million.
What is your financial situation, if you don't mind saying?
Here's the deal. So many people have been stealing my money. People was connected to my account. I went by myself for the first time to Bank of America. Didn't know what I was doing. Didn't know what the hell was going on.
When did you do that? First time by yourself?
About 3 weeks ago to a month.
What? What?
I think a lot of people have been asking that question. Here's a guy who you perceived to have made millions and millions of dollars who couldn't afford $100,000 to bail himself out of jail. And then the child support piece is different, I guess, but bailing yourself out of jail?
Well, that came up.
How can I pay child support? How? If my ex-wife is destroying my name and I can't work, how can I work? How can I get paid? How can I take care of my kids? How?
Your ex-wife
says... Use your common sense!
Your ex-wife says you abused her, Robert.
13! Lying! 13 years being married.
Yeah, that seemed to be his reaction in that interview. Every time there were questions that he really didn't want to face or facts that Gail King brought up that he didn't want to...
Address.
I flew in on a helicopter...
Yeah, yeah.
I flew in on a helicopter.
Yes. Yes. Can somebody give us some tissue?
I don't want no tissue. I'm going to leave.
No, you're doing well. Tito,
did you
Tito,
what he
give
said?
Him a tissue.
He, I believe. No, you're doing well.
Yeah, who's the guy who yelled that?
No, you're doing well.
You're doing well, man. Can't hang in there.
Right, is this like a boxing match?
I don't know. I don't know what this is. I mean... I think the most disturbing part is Gail King later said when she interviewed the two young women who are living with him that he was trying to intimidate them by coughing loudly in the other room to let them know he was listening and he was there. That was her impression. So even after she does a sit down with them and they say everything's cool, no, this is our own, you know, this is what we want, this is us, and this is what we have, you know, decided for ourselves, she felt that there was that threatening vibe from R. Kelly standing just, you know, slightly out of view, but coughing so that they knew.
Wait, here's more.
He was listening.
Look, man, look. I'm telling y'all, I flew in on a helicopter with a damn puppy, and I proposed to Drill, whom I was in love with, and told her, hey, look, I make mistakes. I'm not perfect. We got married. Okay, we had three beautiful kids. Not once have I ever had a domestic violence call at the house and all this, that, and the other. It never happened. Okay?
Okay. What does this have to do with what we're talking about?
Unclear.
And why is it, what's the helicopter have to do with anything?
And
why is there a puppy on a helicopter?
I don't know.
And if he's flying in on a helicopter, who's paying the helicopter? Why can't he pay the $160,000
child support? Right.
Or get out on bail. What's going on here?
It's not.
And why are
sense.
You crying? All right. Hold on. There's one more. Is there one more?
Why is she making that up, Robert?
I'm not disrespecting her by saying she's not telling the truth. I'm just being honest. Somebody sent me something on my phone and it said that I hog-tied her.
I don't know how to hog-tie people. What would I hog-tie? My kids is listening to this, all of this nonsense, and I ain't been spending no time with them. This is real. This is not a lie.
That was his ex-wife who went on The View and gave intimate details about how he, according to her, abused him. He abused her when they were together. It was very explicit about...
Did she say hogtie, or did he bring it up?
She said that he tied my hands and my legs, and I was stuck there, and then he just went to sleep, and I was left to try to get myself free because he didn't care.
Okay. Not having a good week is R. Kelly. I still want to figure out how he's on a helicopter, he's got all this money, and yet he can't pay anything. And people are stealing from him out of his account.
Right.
Okay. Checking in at
number three.
So Fox News' Jesse Waters had a bit of a brain cramp here while he was praising the interview with R. Kelly, praising the work of Gayle King. He got this happened.
Mm-hmm. He was acting like a child throwing a tantrum and acting like he was the victim, like you're doing this to me and taking no responsibility for himself. I agree. Hats off to Gayle King for totally redeeming herself after the Smollett fiasco.
No. Jedediah, you know...
That was not Gayle King.
Oh, I knew that.
Robert Roberts did the Smollett
interview. Robert Roberts.
Yeah. Oh, awkward.
Oh, my God.
Another African-American woman on morning television. Very different people.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Fox News, it's all the same. All the people on network television, that's one, that's, you know, them. Okay. Now, speaking of slip-ups, here's the president had this little slip-up yesterday at an American Workforce Policy Advisory Board held at the White House.
We appreciate it very much, Tim Apple.
Tim Apple. What? He's referring to Tim Cook, and he calls him Tim Apple. Play that again.
We appreciate it very much, Tim Apple.
Tim Apple.
Well, there's so many of them in here, I don't know. All the white guys look alike, I don't know. Which one is he?
Tim Apple Cook has changed his Twitter handle to Tim and then the apple. like this symbol for the apple.
All right, checking in at
number two.
Oh, thank God Charles Barkley can bring sanity back here.
Love Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley talking about Kyrie Irving. He's been vocal this season about his dissatisfaction with the Celtics and some of the Kyrie Irving has been about some of his young teammates. Then here comes Charles Barkley. Doesn't exactly understand how this 6-time All-Star can say this.
These guys are making $20, $30, $40 million a year. They work 6-7 months a year. We stay at the best hotels in the world. They ain't got no problems. That's total bogus. And let me tell you something else. Kyrie Irving, I don't know him that well. He seems like a good kid. But I've never seen a person so miserable. To have so much success, to have the world in the palm of his hand, he's going to make $40, $50 million a year for the next 10, 15 years. He's already won a world championship. He's in movies. But he's got to be one of the most miserable people I've ever seen. We can all get on television and complain about, oh, I can't wait to get away from this. Like, no, you, dude, we're paying you $40 million a year. You ain't never going to get away from this.
I love Charles
Tell
Barkley.
Tell it like it is,
he
really.
Is. I mean, remember when Charles Barkley wanted to run for governor in Alabama?
And everybody laughed at it. No, like, that'll never happen.
Plain talking guys happen? Like that or celebrities, they can't ever become president or governor.
Number one.
James Corden shared a special preview of Captain Marvel. You know, Brie Larson's in that with Samuel L. Jackson. So they did some carpool karaoke. And this is with Brie?
Yeah.
All right. Is Samuel L. Jackson in here too?
Oh,
instead of carpool karaoke, it was carpool lie detector test?
Here we go. Would you be honest with me if you didn't like my performance in a scene?
Nope.
Really?
True.
Do you actually like my Kangol hats?
Yes.
That's a lie.
That is not a lie.
Think I have a strong singing voice?
I do.
Not true.
Oh! Calling her out.
I think people should not try that in their own relationships.
No, that's bad idea. Just universally bad.
Do you like the Captain Marvel suit?
Yours?
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Would you be honest with me if you didn't like my performance in a scene?
Oh, hell yeah.
I know.
True.
You have.
I have not.
Have you ever farted while filming a scene?
All the time.
What?
We're bonded now.
Did you fart while we were doing this?
Of course not.
It's a lie.
It's great.
All right, wrap this thing up.
The top five at five.
Kim Gordon's News brought to you by Chocolate Wine and Spirits Expo.com. Rogan Show with Anna DeBlantis,
yes,
right here on 720 WGN. All right, here's the moment we've been waiting for all week.
We've been talking about it all week.
Willie Wilson is joining us. The doctor himself is in the studio, and he is the man of the hour. He is the make or break figure in this mayoral election.
Could be.
Was from the very beginning when he first stepped up and said, I'm running. I want to do this. You did this before. You'd ran for president. You did the man. Just can't stop running. We learned our traffic reporter actually runs 62-mile races. That's what Willie does in an hour right now. All right, let's talk about. All right, so you've sat down. Have you sat down with both candidates now?
Yes, I have.
And you have your poll, right?
Yes, I have.
And you have, and you've been talking to people, right? Is that the other piece of this?
Yes, I have.
Like business, we like to call them now stakeholders. That's the term that everybody uses. Stakeholders.
Sounds great.
That, you know, the business people and other and community leaders.
Yeah.
I'm sure that you're very, very influential in the church community here. You've talked to some pastors, I'm assuming.
300, 400, 500 more.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. And,
wow.
Have you made your decision?
Pretty much, I'm going to go with the community, the people that voted for me. All right, because those are the ones that I, have my social media. And then I went out into the community. I went to the churches. I went a little bit everywhere. But I got tomorrow to go, and I got some tonight to go to. But pretty much who's leading in all of the poll, pretty much that I have right now, Laura Lightfoot is leading right now.
And so you're telling us you're going to be endorsing her?
Well, I can't do that until tomorrow.
Leaning that way.
Let's put it this way. It's that the poll are leaning that way.
Uh-huh.
We do have some other pastors and ministers tonight, and we got a lot more phone calls to take the do tonight, and we got people we meet tomorrow morning as well, and they are shakers and movers in my world.
Okay. You did so well in the South Side wards and the West Side wards, those areas that any mayor would like to capture and potentially could make a real difference in this mayoral election.
Well, it's not only I see it as the mayoral election, the national and everything else, because people are going to have to come to Chicago. And I can officially say I represent that segment of the Chicago population and that can speak, to that and making sure that the economic schools and things like that is applied to that particular segment community.
That they're not forgotten or overlooked.
Right. And that's the key, making sure they're not overlooked, and that's from Chicago, local as well as national.
If this appears to be leaning toward Lori Lightfoot, what could Tony Preckwinkle say or do here that would change your mind about that?
Well, I did talk to her. I met with her once. I talked to her maybe three times or maybe even four, but I know three times for sure.
And you were pretty rough on her during the campaign.
You were.
Yeah, I know they're rough on you too, but the only person who was rough on you is me. Was there a sense that there was there animosity between the two of you?
No, we just see things. We were seeing things differently, but I didn't have that. I did not hold a grudge. I just didn't like how things is running in the city of Chicago, right? But what I did do, But what I did do with this, in order to be fair with her, in order to be fair with Laura Lightfoot, I worked so hard, you know, the past 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever it been, day and night, and on the phone, and getting phone calls back. I went to the area that one of these candidates need to win, right?
Right. The key district here, the key
one,
wards,
right,
and precincts. Yeah.
Right. I've also stated this year to Ms. Lightfoot that particular churches, the African American churches, have a situation with the gay and lesbian community. And I told her that I was up front. And I also told her this too, was that in the past and things of that nature, I was one of them. I had problem. I definitely had problem because we, as at least in my particular religion, being a Christian, Baptist, and et cetera, et cetera, the Bible speaks against certain situation. But I learned this here, and as I try to tell the religion community now, let's not judge. Let's judge these on social and economic issues, right, and let's put away.
And what are they doing for what are individuals doing for the community and giving back? Because there are not a lot of people who are doing that.
No, right? I agree.
Not
with
working
you.
Hard enough, because we are a community here in Chicago, and we are not treating ourselves as a community. Everybody's kind of out for their own whatever their interests are.
Absolutely right. But here's I told the people, I said, look, as Harold Davis always he said, let's not judge by gender, but let's judge by the agenda.
So, in terms of the, now it's interesting, I like the fact that you're being totally honest about this and upfront about this, because there are people who are trying to dance around this and they shouldn't.
Yeah.
There are a lot of conservative churches in Chicago, in the black community specifically, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
That see gay people as performing an evil act, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So in that can you go back, and these are a lot of the people that obviously through Sensation and through, you know, all of your religious work and all that for your whole life.
Yeah.
Will you stand at a pulpit and say that it's okay?
Well, I wouldn't stand in the pulpit to say it's okay to do a sin, right? So sin means adultery too, you know, fornication, liar, killer. I would not stand in the pulpit and say that, but I would say this. I would say we must judge people by human being, not by the gender. I would say that.
You can love the sinner and hate the sin.
Well, right. Absolutely right. Okay. And also, our scripture said we should not judge. Yeah.
Okay. So in other words, I guess what we're getting down to here is that you've taken that off the table as an issue for you. And you will say back to followers, people who like you, voted for you, who may also have that perspective, that you're taking that off the table. That shouldn't be under consideration in this decision.
That's absolutely right. Now, understand this. I have a band, and I have people work for me that are gay and lesbian, right? And I've always been the same. And, you know, look. I tell everybody, I'm not going to say, get up here and say what I suppose. I was one of the same one, you know, and I ain't going to lie about it, the same one, right? And I used to be in the pulpit and say the same thing. I speak every Sunday in the church. But, you know, you learn in life to do things better if you know it's wrong. And I said today, and look.
Were you wrong?
Yes, I was. I should not have judged. I should not have judged. I ain't allowed, but I should not have judged, and that's a judge, a human being for the gender.
Willie, one of the things I heard from you consistently on the campaign trail is you didn't like the way the city was working now, and you were against the establishment players for partially that reason, and I heard you call them out throughout the campaign, including Toni Preckwinkle. You called her out, even in the mayoral debate sponsored by this very station and Crane Chicago Business and us. You called out Toni Preckwinkle that night because you didn't necessarily agree with the way things have been going, and you've been anti-establishment. You endorsed Chewy above Rahm Emanuel in that race. Also, it seems to everyone that is a very compelling issue for you, and it would lead most of us to believe that you're going to endorse Lori Lightfoot.
Well, put it this way. I've gotten out and I've said my dislike as related to things that the establishment have done. I've said that. All right? And I meant that. I've also have talked about the issue a lot as related to gender, gay and lesbian. So I have to kind of balance it off if I'm going to be fair.
But the gay and lesbian agenda, is that what you're saying?
Gender.
Okay, all right.
But you're taking that off the table. Is that what we just...
I'm saying let's make the decision as related to a human being. What can they do for the city of Chicago, the citizen of Chicago? Okay. You know, don't look at the person, what they do or stand for. Let's take that off the table. Let's look at it, what they can do socioeconomically speaking for this.
And you believe, in your sense, after talking to both candidates, your sense is that Lori Lightfoot's plan is better for Chicago?
Well, my sense is that I'm open with this. I don't like the establishment ways.
Okay. What, can I ask you about the taxes for a second here?
Uh-huh.
Because you're a multi-millionaire, right? You did this all on your own.
You're self-made,
not,
okay?
This is not a Kardashian.
All right.
He's
we
self-made.
We got a big argument, Willie. You're going to get us in trouble here, okay? Because I said Kylie Jenner, the Kardashian one, is a self-made and gross. No, she's not.
Not self-made.
Willie, you are truly self-made,
Willie
above
self-made.
Kylie and all
you.
Other Kardashians.
So,
period.
Now the governor today, they put meat on the bone in terms of what this tax is going to be. Mm-hmm. So the tax is that it's going to be standard, that what we're paying now, mm-hmm. up to $250,000. Anything between $250,000 and $1 million is going to be taxed at 7.95%. And then if you make over $1 million...
Household.
Your whole, the entire, all, everything you make is at 7.95%. It's not, it's not indexed based on the below $250,000 tax rate. That, I think, is going to drive a lot of people out of Illinois. It's going to make people want to leave. Now, if you add the state, and now the city tries to throw a tax up, and the county tries to throw a tax up, what is your reaction to that?
Well, I haven't really listened to the news a lot because I've been busy on this over here, right?
Yeah, I understand, to get your reaction.
My reaction would be this. I think a lunatic.
Yeah.
I think you should not run businesses out of the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois. Being run business out of the city and the state, you're running jobs out too. We should be competitive, more competitive than Tennessee, Indiana, and Texas, where it's more friendly, mm-hmm. more corporation, more job, and they're in a surplus, right? So why can't you think? You don't balance the budget out the taxpayer back and run them out of town. You lower your taxes to bring business in, to create jobs and businesses. The problem with Chicago, I've always say, is corruption. You don't have to fix the budget. Here's how you fix the doggone budget, right? Fix the budget. First of all, out of $10 billion, $7 billion in payroll. Would it be? Okay? You got to tackle that. You got to take the union. You got to work with the union. Get a lot of that cost down and out. You got to get rid of the corruption. If you look at the finance into Ed Burke situation, mm-hmm. you look where that money's going to.
And finance committee.
Yeah, I said right. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Look where they're going to and look what kind of trouble you're in now. You bid out the contracts to make sure everybody get a fair shake and lower the prices, you know. And you take it, besides just the casino and stuff like that, marijuana and everything.
Right.
But that's how you balance the budget.
Okay. I would love to have been a fly on the wall. God, I wish you had recorded these things between you and Lori and you and Tony. And I can just imagine, I mean, that's the thing. Just Tony, the two of you looking at each other uh-huh. in that meeting must have really been something, because you guys, you know, there was a lot of water that went under that bridge during the election.
Sure.
So people were saying some stuff. Not so much with Lori. You know, she didn't really run a dirty him up. Other than, hey, these are the establishment people. You know, lighting the light in the boardroom kind of commercial. But you know, those are two. These are the two lions, meeting each other when Willie Wilson and Tony Preckwinkle.
I'm sure both of these candidates do.
Yeah.
Look, I can say this to you, and I say this all confident.
Yes.
Whoever I endorse tomorrow is going to be the next mayor of Chicago.
You've got that touch, Willie. Who would die with you?
The people that one common thing that the people have said to me, out of all the people that I talked to, is that we may agree with you, we may not agree with you. Because we trust you, whatever you say, we're going to go with.
I'm going to tell you this.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Willie is 100% right. Whoever he endorses tomorrow will win. And it may be, you know, if you do endorse Lori Lightfoot, she seems to be leading in a lot of polls. I think it assures her. If you, but if you endorse Tony Preckwinkle, it will make her competitive and competitive with the amount of money she's going to be spending here because she's got a lot of it to spend, could tip the balance. So I think as a pure political analysis, that's you're 100% right. You're always right, Willie.
Oh, well, look, one thing
I understood half of what you were saying. I know you're 100% right, but go ahead.
One thing you will always get from me, open and honest.
That is true.
Yeah.
And how you really feel. There's no.
Right.
I'm glad that you that you directly addressed the gay and lesbian thing.
Because
I know. That's
in guts.
Right. I mean, it's an important thing. But the thing is, it's what's being said on the street anyway. So it's being said in the churches anyway. This is the conversation people are having.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's have the conversation and say, all right, well, you may, for religious principles, you may feel differently about that circumstance, but it doesn't affect how you choose to engage somebody in, as mayor or as a friend or as a neighbor or anything else like that.
Right.
Well done. Well done.
I tell this way here. Look, everybody thought I was going to be underwater because I voted for Trump and ran. Everybody said I was going to be underwater. I said, no. I'm not going to lie. I got to be honest to the citizens of Chicago. Know my feeling, know my thought, and also look at my record. I'm my own person.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be afraid of stuff and what's going to happen, this, and that, because the truth outwins anything.
Can't wait to get Willie a MAGA hat. That's what I'm going to do next. All right. Thank you. You know what? You kept your promise. You came in here. You told us where you're standing right now. Well, the big press conference is tomorrow at 10:30 where you're going to make the final announcement. Will the candidate...
1:30. 1:30.
I'm sorry, 1:30. Will the candidate be there tomorrow?
Yes.
And where is this going to be at?
5120 South King Drive, Chicago Baptist Institute.
Mm.
Woo!
We'll be watching.
I want you all to come.
We got to work.
Take off.
Take off.
That's how it works, Willie. Right. We're not multimillionaires like you.
I'm not you.
I got to go work for Willie.
Willie, will you employ us?
All right. With the great Willie Wilson. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Willie.
Right, let's check in now. Kim, what's coming up in a few minutes at the top of the hour?
Row, the Lincoln Yards Project, moving forward.
Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Richard Roper is here now.
Hello, hello.
We just recapping what's happened on the program today. We have been on for 4 hours.
Jeez.
We have.
For those who are 3 hours at this point, or 15 minutes, for those who did not join us right at 3 o'clock because the radio station, AM 720, was playing the White Sox, right? That's what it was on.
Yes, we were on the stream.
We were at WLSAM, WGNAM.com.
Go Row.
Do you know, I did that twice.
You did that last night. I did that last night. I almost did that earlier because we both hail from the same place. But yeah.
That's
funny. I never say that, those letters.
I never say it either.
Well, I probably said it for 25 years.
Yeah, you did, in a consecutive.
But it's weird. You haven't said it in years.
I know. I know, it's
and
weird.
And then in 24 hours.
I know, twice in 24 hours. I know.
What does that all mean?
I don't know what it means. I had a weird dream about that place, though. That
was maybe, wow.
That was
Were you being murdered? Or what?
Yeah, sort of.
Oh, jeez.
There was something weird was going on there, and I don't know what was going quite. It was like a murder mystery that was happening in their studios.
Is this like the time of the year when you left there and came here?
No.
No,
it's about it's not even the time of the year that I went there. I don't know what it
Something
is.
Something odd.
Oh, who would remember that, though?
Wow.
There are... People have died of old age in the amount of time that it has been since I started there. Yeah. But so my point is, WGNradio.com. That's I'll get this right.
Did it, yeah, where were people hearing the stream then?
You can hear the stream there or on the WGN app, or you can go to, I don't know, let's say your smart speaker and say play WGN Radio on TuneIn.
Yeah, so you were recapping what we went through.
Yes.
Remember the first Rokan broadcast. Who is this governor from Arkansas, and why is his wife getting involved in his politics? We'll learn more about the Clintons, I believe their name is, coming up soon.
That's really true. So here's what we learned on today's program. Okay. Just going back through things that happened. And,
yeah.
And you should join us on the stream if you get the opportunity. Because it's a weird, it's a different, so totally different vibe, totally different thing happens there, and the language changes slightly. We learned that Jen DeSalvo,
mm-hmm.
who has been so ably filling in, she's got a billion jobs, and now she's got a husband who's got a big cast on his leg, and a puppy who just got spayed.
I know.
So she's
good thing it's not the other way around. Think about it that way.
Yes, that's true.
That's true.
And she's been, you know, like busting her butt to get here and do this for us for these next in these weeks intervening. And I just would like to thank her for that, but then we learned that she has run in a race that is 100 miles that you have to complete in the first day. She has run 100 miles in a day.
Unbelievable.
Consecutively. Miles.
Yes, just right.
And it's not a relay.
And you eat a meatball sandwich while it's going on.
And Oreos.
This
awesome.
Is things that we have learned about her. That was really something. We also learned some other weird things about my own. What's happening in my own mind.
Mm-hmm.
We learned some strange facts about Tom Skilling.
Yes, wow. We did.
Yeah. And I think the most important thing is we all got to share, once we came back to the top five at five, we all got to share in the wackiness of R. Kelly.
Jeez.
And we have something for you coming up
great.
In the second half hour here of the 6 o'clock hour. You know the drunk Trump that we do?
Yes.
Well, it turns out that R. Kelly is a better drunk than Donald Trump.
It's hard to believe.
Wait till you hear this.
Wow.
From the Gayle King interview. Richard Roper's here to tell us about the movies. First of all, we already know you gave 3.5 stars to Captain Marvel, which is already opened, right? People are already
people
lined
are seeing
up.
It as we speak, lining up. A lot of people all over the interwebs talking about how excited they are to see it.
It'll make over $100 million.
I think it'll make $140 to $145 million.
Wow,
Brie Larson as Captain Marvel, a continuation of the whole Avengers Marvel universe. She's terrific in it, a wonderful action. And I really love the setting, which is mostly in the 1990s on Earth here. So if you love that time of mm-hmm. That time period, the pop culture, the music, the Radio Shacks, the Blockbusters, the fashions, I think you'll see a lot of fun cultural references in Captain Marvel, and just a lot of fun. I like Brie Larson a lot. I think she's
terrific.
Too.
That may be one of those that I go to see.
And right. she'll be another Avengers movies to come.
Oh,
all right.
Cool.
So what else is coming out this week?
Well, there's an interesting one called Triple Frontier. This is another Netflix film because they release a new movie every hour on the hour now. although this one is going to play in theaters. It's in theaters as we speak. They put it in theaters yesterday. It'll play in theaters for a week or so. Then you'll get it streaming on Netflix. And this is a big movie. It stars Ben Affleck, Oscar Isaac, Charlie Hunnam, who was Jax in Sons of Anarchy, Garrett Hudlin. So it's basically a very good-looking version of The Expendables, where a bunch of guys who used to be in the service now get a mercenary job. The Triple Frontier is where the three countries in South America converge, and there's two rivers there, and it's a very dangerous, kind of crazy area. So they get a job where they're going to steal a bunch of money from a drug lord and be set for life, because they're in the classic situation where after they serve their country for 20 years, they're having a lot of hard time adjusting to civilian life. They all need cash. One guy's divorced. Another guy just got busted. The other guy's got a baby. So here's a little scene with Ben Affleck and Oscar Isaac and company in Triple Frontier.
I have never had a feeling as pure or proud as completing a mission with all of you.
Everything we've done for the last 17 years, trying to make a difference.
And we never took a dime. You've been shot 5 times for your country, and you can't even afford to send your kids to college.
I got a job for you.
I'm retired.
Fish, I need a pilot.
I got the new baby now.
This can change you and that baby's life forever.
We finally get to use our skills for our own benefit.
I will add my 2 cents here.
Yeah.
Great trailer.
Yeah. Compelling.
It is a great trailer.
Well, J.C. Chandor, who wrote and directed this, he did a movie called Margin Call about 10 years ago. And then he did All Is Lost, which was the Robert Redford movie. Yeah. Remember when he was on the boat? Almost the entire movie was just him in the boat. And then he did a great movie called The Most Violent Year a couple of years ago with Oscar Isaac and Jessica Chastain, one of the best movies of a couple of years back. So he's really good, really talented. And this is not some fly-by-night film. This is a project that's been out there forever. You know, different people were going to star in it over the years. And they were going to begin filming last summer, and that's when Ben Affleck had all of his issues where he had to go to rehab. And to his credit, J.C. Chandor said, you know what, we're going to wait till he gets better, and then we're going to film this movie. So when you see Ben Affleck, you're seeing a, we hope and we hear, a clear-eyed, sober, newly renewed Ben Affleck in his first role coming back. And when he's on form, when he's on point, he's terrific. He's always good. You believe him as a guy that was in the military for 20 years and now had, you know, problems with his marriage, and he's got a 15-year-old daughter he can't connect with, and he's a terrible condo salesman, and now this opportunity comes up to get some fast cash, because as they talk about, these guys were special forces guys for 20 years. Now, you know, they're off the grid, but now they can finally get paid, because they never took any money while they were military. They never committed any crimes. They did a lot of things in the service of their country. Of course, they come back. Nobody even knows that they did that because they were special forces guys.
Wow.
So it's the classic setup. We've seen this in a bunch of movies, and then it's just all about how the thriller is executed. Really, really cool-looking movie. It's got that rainy jungle, almost like a Vietnam film. Creedence Clearwater Revival on the soundtrack. Really well done. 3.5 stars for Triple Frontier. Nice. Unfortunately, that is not a title that I think gets people excited. What is it, a Western? You know, and that's actually the name, as I said, of this territory. But most people, I don't think, you know, as Donald Trump would say, a lot of people don't know the Triple Frontier is three borders. It's triple.
There's three of them.
Now we do. Now we know.
Many people don't know. But it's on Netflix soon?
Next week. You'll see it on in your Netflix
queue. Now.
I'd say if you get a chance, you want to see a movie like that, it definitely, it's not going to look like a TV movie blown up for the big screen. It's a big movie. This is just how Netflix does it. They're like, you know what? We'll put it in theaters. You never know. It's probably not Oscar level, but, you know, you never know.
There might actually be some category, right?
Yeah, you know, editing, sound mixing, things like that.
And
certainly
that's the
cast is good. Also, it deserves the theatrical release, but I think this is what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. Much to the, you know, consternation of Steven Spielberg and others who say that's kind of almost cheating just to put it in theaters for a week. You know, he doesn't want a Roma repeat, Steven Spielberg and others are saying. To me, it's like, look, it's their movie. They can do what they want with it.
Sure.
You know? And it'll, you know, it'll make $5 million in theaters, and then it'll be seen by untold tens of millions of people on Netflix. Because you'll misclick on the John Mulaney special that you thought you were going to see. And then, it's time for this.
Ben Affleck.
This. Yeah, exactly.
Why not?
Who's this comic?
Well, it is. The business model obviously completely changing in entertainment, but what is not changing is promoting of a movie. Right.
Yeah.
And the better way to promote a movie is to have it the traditional way is if it comes out in the theaters, there's going to be a bigger promotional push for the film. To your point, so much stuff pops up on Netflix and you're like, it's just too much. I don't know how how to discern when I'm making a choice. I sometimes will spend 40 minutes on Netflix looking for something to watch and then fall asleep.
I do the same.
Right, and it's all right, I'm done.
But so much
season
quality.
Four of The Office again, you know, or something like that, which is why a lot of those, you know, kind of older shows like that are so popular, I believe, on Netflix. It's because it's the same thing when you go into some of these, you go into like a Subway or some of these beef places, it's too, I don't know what
too
to
much.
Do. I'll get the ham and cheese.
Too much.
You just go with what you want, right? What you know. And I think that's a great point. It is kind of a rehearsal of what used to be where, you know, TV would be for 6 months, you'd see commercials for a movie. Now, this playing in theaters for a week is almost like a commercial for Netflix.
Right.
Let's see. You see the trailer. You know, you go to see Captain Marvel. You see a trailer for Triple Frontier. Oh, wow. Ben Affleck, action movie. Oh, it's going to, and then it'll say, coming to Netflix March 16th. Oh, I'll wait a week.
Yeah, that's what you do. That's what I do. I'm into The Widow right now on Amazon Prime.
We also
love The Widow. I don't know. See, there's
Kate
a Widow
Beckinsale,
now.
See, exactly.
Oh,
and
she's,
it's such quality.
Pete Davidson's girlfriend.
Now, wait a second. Now, hold on a second. I've broken the code on this.
Yeah, he totally has.
Okay.
Totally broken the code. She's dating Pete Davidson to promote this. You know, the thing is that Hollywood, since the dawn of Hollywood, this happened in the silent movie era. Mm-hmm. They would create these romances and connections and do things to get themselves in the fan magazines. Yeah. And today it would be, you know, online for People or for Vanity Fair or any of the things that moviegoers or consumers of this would be reading. And so what better way to promote herself than date Pete Davidson, another wacky hookup for him. but it's like the best way to promote. Listen, it helped. Think of what Ariana Grande got out of that.
And
she got a number one album out of that.
And Pete Davidson got airtime on SNL. We saw him beyond the opening credits on Saturday Night Live. He got some skits out of it.
And yeah.
I would believe you would be correct, Rokan, because you know when we see Pete Davidson and Kate Beckinsale in the front row at a New York Rangers hockey game.
Totally. Like they're not going to be
French kissing like 15-year-olds.
Right.
I mean, like the open tonguey thingy that only, you know, almost a hickey. You know, like you're going to get a hickey.
Right.
And I'm like, okay.
They know they're on display.
Because Kate Beckinsale, you know, has been a huge Rangers fan. All through the years.
All right.
Isn't growing up in Great Britain, I always enjoyed the Rangers.
She's the Spike Lee of Rangers games, as we all know.
Yeah. Of course. She's been heckling the Bruins for years from that front row perch.
Mm-hmm. With her curly hair, chewing gum, going, "Hey, Rangers! Rangers!"
Yeah. I believe all she's going to adopt him as well.
Can I check in with Kim now? What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Row, a local university may be closing its doors tomorrow.
Yeah, it's the Rokan Show. Yes, it's Anna DeVlantis.
Yes,
it's Richard Roper is here to tell us about the films. And then Drunk R. Kelly.
Wow.
That's all I can say about that. I can just make that noise.
Fantastic.
I heard it here for the first time a few minutes ago as our crack production team, the sonic genius Brian Altimer. Some people might know him as Sean Green. I don't know why. They put this whole thing together for us. It's again. That's not like anything you've ever heard before. Oh. But before we get to that, let's again. The movies this weekend: 3.5 stars for Captain Marvel. You loved it.
Love Captain Marvel. It's going to be a big hit. And yes, it is a great girl power story, but it's just a lot of fun too. And if you're like thinking if I could take the smaller kids, obviously not the real little ones, but yeah, it's the violence is very. You know, it's not super intense like some of the superhero movies give us. So, Captain Marvel, your big hit. We like Triple Frontier, Ben Affleck's kind of his comeback vehicle, I guess you could say. And there's another one. Here's an interesting one for you. It's The Kid. Now, this movie's The Kid. There's been several movies called The Kid through the years, but this kid is Billy the Kid. It's a takeoff on that with probably, I'd say, 4% truth, which is kind of fun. But I really like this Western. I'm giving 3 stars to The Kid. What I really like this about this is it's a... It's a story. Ethan Hawke plays Pat Garrett. Now, Pat Garrett was the lawman in the actual 19th century who eventually took down Billy the Kid. Remember, there was actually a movie called Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid with Bob Dylan singing Knocking on Heaven's Door. Now, in this story, Billy the Kid has been captured by Pat Garrett, but they got a long way to take him to get him to they want to take him to where he's going to stand trial and then be hanged. They're not just going to execute him. And in the meantime, there's a whole subplot about a young kid who starts idolizing Billy the Kid. And then there's a super terrible, evil, hideous, murdering, thieving, slashing outlaw, and he's played by the lovable, cuddly Chris Pratt.
Oh.
Who you usually see guarding the galaxy or playing with dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah.
Or working at Parks and Rec. He's like one of our cuddliest actors, and he's got a big giant beard, and he swears, and he kills, and he slashes, and he shoots, and he's a bad guy. We have a little bit of a snippet from The Kid.
What do you think I'd do? You hurt one hair on his head.
I'm taking my nephew with me.
Every single one of these people is going to tell the tale of how you ran.
They know it's not true.
It doesn't matter what's true. It matters the story they tell when you're gone.
That's Ethan Hawke right there. Oh. Ethan Hawke's perfect in almost anything, isn't he? He can play modern guys, but when you see him in a Western, you feel like he just didn't wash his hair for 2 weeks and he's got a cowboy hat and he just shows up kind of pre-Western-y looking.
Yeah, that's true.
He's got that kind of old-timey look. The mustache and everything works on him. And Chris Pratt, who is, you know, I'll tell you this. I was watching this movie and 15, 20 minutes into it, I kept thinking, well, Chris Pratt is highly billed here. Where is he? And I finally figured out he's that guy. Even though I knew it was him, I didn't think it was him playing this evil guy because he doesn't use his normal Chris Pratt voice. So he's actually really good. I'm sure he had a lot of fun playing the kind of guy that tells a 10-year-old kid, I'm going to take your mother away and I'm going to put her to work, if you know what I mean. And he doesn't say it in those nice of a terms.
Oh, boy.
Mm.
So if you see a Western called The Kid playing in theaters, and be another one that'll be streaming soon, and you like gritty, violent
Westerns,
go see that.
The post-Unforgiven Western in modern Western history.
Yeah, not like, you know, one of the things I like about this is, like, it has that feeling like when there's gunfights, they miss a lot because that's what really would have happened with those guns at that time.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, shootouts in the middle of the street. They wouldn't just one guy shoot and the other guy hit the other guy. You'd miss a lot.
I still like Butch Cassidy, the Sundance Kid, because it's pretty. And there's the nice, pretty, there's a music, lyrical interlude in which we have to ride a bicycle and we have to listen to a 1970s folk song. But other than that, pop song.
And Redford had like actual feathered hair, even though it was set like you know he had that beautiful 1970s. You could just say they were probably three hairstylists on set just for him.
Right.
This does not have that look. This looks like a, gritty. People kind of looked back in those days.
Yeah.
Unbathed.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can almost smell them.
Yes.
You know, I always kind of wonder how we made little Western denizens. How did they make, you know, when you watch these movies and you see these people and they're like, how did they hook up? I mean, what goes on there?
And you see it in reality too, unfortunately, because you'd be like, you know, some guy would marry the only other, you know, the girl that lived in the farmhouse down the street and they'd have 17 kids, three of which made it to the age of 10. You know, they would just keep trying. Well, Molly, you know, she lost another one. I mean, it's sad, but it's the truth. Yeah. And then the oldest one died of old age at 37.
Oh,
old
man.
Grandma.
It was a tough one.
Compressed time. Yeah, but you're right. I'm like, and then the doctor was always just a guy with a satchel and a knife and some whiskey.
Oh, right.
Doc, can you patch
her
up? Well, I've never seen anything like this before.
Oh, gee.
I'm going to take a break. Then we're going to play. Because what I'm doing, this is for people. This is not for the faint of heart.
Oh, geez.
What we're going to do here with R. Kelly.
Thanks for the warning.
This is not for the faint of heart. Put the kids away.
Oh, gosh.
It's too early to put them to bed, but try anyway.
Where do you put them away?
I don't know. If you're, you know what I always say? If the kids are in the car with you, pull over and let them stand outside while you listen to this and then bring them back in the car.
It's not that cold.
It's not right.
It's not that cold. Is that right? It's fine. Hold on a second. Don't play it yet. Stand by. It starts. It's if R. Kelly were drinking and in a blues bar.
Oh, no.
What would it sound like based on what he told CBS Morning News and Gayle King? All right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're doing that. But first, let's we don't know what's coming up at the top of the hour. And quite honestly, it does not appear that anybody cares. Oh, it's hockey right at the top of the hour. There's
sports.
No news.
There's going to be sports at the top of the hour.
Right. There's sports ball, as you said.
Sports ball. Yeah. Well, this one's sports puck.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for clarifying. What do you got coming up on the roads? And don't forget, you want a makeover for your backyard? Architect will give you for free, a 12 by 16 foot rectangular deck built by Architect themselves and constructed from TimberTech products. Also, they will throw in from American Sale a 3-piece cushion sectional and fire pit table. And from Weber, a Weber Spirit 2 Series gas grill. How do you do this?
How?
You win it at WGNradio.com/contests.
Wow.
That'd be really cool to win.
That's the whole package right there.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen their work. It's amazing.
Yes.
You upload a picture of your present outdoor situation.
Mm-hmm. We've got a situation out back.
Yeah. The judges here, I don't know how this whole thing works, but then one lucky listener.
How cool.
Is going to get themselves an Architect deck.
It won't only transform your deck, it'll transform your life.
Yes, some of those outdoor scenarios. And,
situations.
Well, that's Buster and Killer. They're Rottweilers. They don't want to come inside.
No, we don't want to see that.
A little less down there, you know, Grandma didn't quite make it.
Oh, geez.
Oh, God.
All right, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, now you know Drunk Trump. You know the Drunk Trump that we do, right? You know that thing?
Yeah,
right,
sure.
It's kind of talking.
Heard it.
Sounds a little drunk. Can we play? Do you have a little? Can we do a little Drunk Trump first, just to set the scene here? I know I'm asking for too much.
Really? Like when he goes off topic, off script, and just starts referencing his wealthy friends and
get it from the cart rack over there.
It's
labeled.
Like Holly Hunter and Broadcast News. They have to run down the hall.
That was the best.
Run back.
So people know what we're doing. This is what we're doing. Just to show that we're ecumenical about this.
Yes.
That this is a standard kind of thing that happens on this program where you know somebody, some newsmaker says something stupid and then we give them the business. That's what we do.
Welcome to business.
And so we always, you know, we wondered. We did this well before. Mm-hmm. I think somebody stole our bit here. It was Jimmy Kimmel stole our bit.
Yeah, we did this well before Jimmy Kimmel.
And as you know, the attorney general says I'm going to recuse myself. And I said, why the hell didn't he tell me that before I put him in? How do you recuse yourself?
There you go. Right? All right.
Taste.
So that's a little, like what happens. We use the real words from the real people, from real tape.
Don't change those.
We give them a half bottle of gin.
Oh.
Right? Okay. So here's what happens if R. Kelly were drinking at a blues club.
Oh, boy.
Oh, dear. I flew in on a helicopter.
Oh, yes. Yes. Can somebody give us some tissue?
I don't want a tissue. I'm a lean. Look, man, look. I'm telling y'all, I flew in on a helicopter with a damn puppy, and I proposed to Drill, whom I was in love with. My ex-wife is destroying my name, and I can't work. How can I work? How can I get paid? How can I take care of my kids? How?
Okay. It works so well, I got uncomfortable halfway through it.
Wow.
If this is a PR stunt or way to influence the jury, I don't think this is all going his way. I think this has really worked against him in a big way.
You mean to go out?
To go out there. I mean, the typical, you know, you typically see this as a way to sort of tell their side of the story. Maybe, you know, potentially, I've heard a defense attorney or two occasionally say this might just influence the jury pool, that this is something that you get out front of. I don't think the way he's acted in this situation
angry
has helped him.
And unhinged, and you can see him as the out of control, overly emotional, controlling bad guy.
Every time Dale King tries to ask questions that he doesn't want to deal with or references a situation he doesn't want to face, he either gets angry or he starts crying or he tries to change the subject to his own emotions or his own feelings.
Talk about him.
Yeah. It's all about him. Do you know what I've been through? Do you know it's just because I have a big heart?
Well, Gail King, whatever hypnosis she has learned, or TM, or whatever it is, she's mastered
Oprah.
It. Yeah,
she's channeling her inner Oprah.
Man.
There.
This may be her finest moment at CBS.
Yeah.
For sure.
It might be.
Because not only is she having... You know, this story is, you know, a national sensation now. And she got the interview, but she conducted herself in a way. It was a 60 Minutes-esque behavior.
Just none of it without getting herself, you know, worked up or telling him to, you know, like trying to, you know, control it. Just let him go.
Right.
And I'll stand here and I'll sit here and be calm and we'll get back to I'll stay on point. Yeah, she was brilliant.
And Gail King is really good. That morning show. Really is kind of the gold standard of how a morning show, if you're doing news,
yes,
you know, for a little more serious.
It is. The other two are lots of fun, but it's a party on the patio.
Yeah.
And there's the American Idol is making out with somebody from the Real Housewives, and then there's a performance out there, and then the Hoda's going to get another bottle of Chardonnay, and I mean, which is all great, you know. They're the same. I don't know what's going on half the time, and they do serious stuff too. But CBS has that, you know, that kind of more. Serious-minded.
Yeah, I like that round table format that they've created. It just, you know, it lends itself to some funner topics, but definitely to handle the more weighty news subjects.
Because Charlie Rose, he's so dignified. He's not on the show.
But before the other stuff, he was like the perfect host for that.
He seemed like it. We thought in our minds he was.
But that's the thing about Gail King, too, because people always would say, oh, she's only famous for being Oprah. She had been coming up in television with Oprah all those years and was very good on her own.
Absolutely. And you can tell that comes very naturally to her to act like this. I think this is almost like a master class for interviewing subjects.
I think you're right. They'll be showing that. That's a great point. Yeah.
Stay in it.
Untenable.
And she continued to ask the questions, and he just loses his mind. I mean, he does not like to be.
It's not good.
But I still don't understand the money piece. You know, that came up today. Well, that, I never quite understood this. Said that he was worth $100 million. Now he says he can't. People have stolen from him, and he can't come up with $160,000 in child support, and his wife is lying about him. And it's, you know.
He revealed that he went to the bank for the very first time. A man of 52 years old went to the bank for the very first time a couple weeks ago. And he had $350,000 in there, but too many people were putting their hands in, and there were other names on the account, and that's wow. why he didn't have the money.
All right.
Jeez.
More of this tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Right now, time for Chicago Blackhawks hockey on the air at WGN Radio.
Chicago White Sox.
The Chicago Blackhawks.
The Northwestern Wildcats.
And the best Bears coverage on 720.